now to have been upwards of 250,000 young white girls raped in this century, very largely by Muslim men.
In 2008, an 11-year-old girl came to the attention of the police after she disclosed that she and another child had been sexually abused by a group of adult males. Just a few weeks later, she was found in a derelict house with another child and a number of adult males. Yet she was arrested, 11 years of age, she was arrested for being drunk and disorderly, and none of the males were arrested. Has your force identified the police officers involved in that and found out what went on?
I don't know.
The veil is lifting on the UK's festering underbelly of nauseating cover-ups, where Labour MPs under Keir Starmer's iron grip just slammed the door on justice for victims of Muslim grooming gangs.
The eyes to the right were 111, the nose to the left 364, so the nose have it, the nose have it. Unlock!
Labour crushed it, 364 to 111. Back in January 2025, the Tories pushed an amendment to the Children's Wellbeing Bill demanding a national inquiry into the predatory networks that have ravaged thousands of young, mostly white and working-class British girls, while whispers of Islamophobia fears and political correctness shielded the perpetrators.
But I want to give a special thanks to the APPG on British Muslims for the brilliant work that you do to highlight issues affecting British Muslims and celebrate their achievements. As leader of the Labour Party, I am utterly committed to eradicating Islamophobia from my party and from society.
And let's not forget Starmer's own skeletons as director of public prosecutions in 2009. His CPS refused to prosecute serial pedophile Jimmy Savile despite credible allegations, citing insufficient evidence. Hundreds more victims suffered while the elite protected their own.
How did you get it, though?
I can get anything. Yeah. There's nothing I can't get. And there's nothing I can't do.
We should accept that pedophilia is a sexual preference, a thought, a feeling, and not an act. We should differentiate between child sexual abuse and pedophilia.
The stats paint a horrifying picture of a nation in denial, with police recording 71,227 rapes in 2024 alone, yet charges brought in a pathetic 2.7% of cases, leaving over 97% of predators walking free. By the year ending in March 2025, sexual offenses spiked to 209,079, a brutal 11% jump from the prior year.
And nothing has shaped my thinking more than our crowd-funded independent inquiry into the Pakistani Muslim rape gangs. An inquiry that should never have had to exist. An inquiry that I created only because the political system itself would not act. That inquiry has been the most sobering experience of my public life. Not just because of the awful crimes, not just because of the horrific suffering, but because of what it exposed about the way this country is governed.
Now zoom out to Scandinavia, where the same multicultural madness has turned safe havens into rape hotspots. Sweden tops the charts at 84.4 reported rapes per 100,000 people, followed by Norway at 42.9.9. With studies showing 92% of severe rapes in Sweden linked to foreign-born offenders. Yet convictions remain abysmally low. Just 6% in Sweden prosecute adult cases. Scandinavia's unchecked borders and elite denial breed predators, turning progressive paradises into hellscapes for women and girls, while real men appear to be non-existent. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
You're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening here. We're excited that you're jumping on board with us. We have an incredible lineup of guests jumping on the show. Nate Vance, who I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. We've had him on the show before. I know when I was gone, Matt Tardio brought him in. Nate Vance is a veteran. He is also the cousin of Vice President J.D. Vance. And I want to talk to him about what's going on right now between the U.S. and Iran. Obviously, tensions are, well, they're heating up. So we'll be joining, well, we'll have him join us to discuss just that. We'll also have Tom Renz on the show to discuss the very latest in the MAHA movement. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to make sure we paid attention to what James O'Keefe was working on. James went undercover as a Muslim man and infiltrated a Antifa house. Now you got to see it for yourself. It's quite the impressive disguise, of course. Take a listen to clip two.
A graffiti-laced clown barn from hell with anarchist imagery all over the side.
And they have, what is inside there?
Just as I was wishing I could get inside, a man in black block walked around the side smoking a cigarette.
Hey, John.
He saw me dressed in full Muslim garb, and he let his guard down immediately.
Hello.
I'm translating it.
You speak English?
James.
Yes, I'm from America. Recently moved here. I want to get involved, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We have a homepage. Mm-hmm. This is Cyclophan. So you can go...
What is it called?
Cyclophan.
Cyclophan?
It's like a cyclope.
I'd like to help out.
Yeah and on the homepage, cyclophan.se, further down on the page, mm-hmm. you have cyclophan@info.com.
Okay.
And you can write to us and ask when next meeting is. Then
thank you.
You can come to the meeting.
What is inside of there?
I can show you.
I realized in that moment my hypothesis is correct. There is no way that Antifa can say no to an Islamic person for fear of being prejudiced.
We are not Antifa. We are democratic socialist.
Okay.
And as the man who's smoking a cigarette claimed that they're not Antifa, we walked right past an Antifa symbol on the side of the barn as he was saying that.
We are not like Antifa.
Yeah.
No. Especially political agenda here.
Just a peek. Yeah. Hmm? Just a peek.
This is a culture house.
Culture house?
Yes.
Oh, it's so nice.
Ooh.
Stage.
This room is upstairs too.
Wow.
This is so nice.
Wow. Now we were finally inside. It appeared to be a three-story structure with stairs to different levels.
But this is a culture house. People call it an Antifa house.
You can read there.
Yeah.
The house.
Sorry if my misunderstanding.
The website cyclophan.com.
Yes.
.com.
On the side of the wall was their mission statement. What stood out to us were two things. That Cyclopin wants to be an infrastructure vehicle for a larger political movement in Sweden and internationally. And Cyclopin is run by direct democratic principles. Everybody who uses the House Center has a right to decision making.
Yeah, as you can see, it has some... There may be traces.
No Nazis. We like this. We like no Nazis.
At that moment, they closed the big iron door behind us. There was now no turning back. They did not know we were filming. One of my two friends had a hidden camera and was terrified that the door was closed behind us.
Well, I don't know if you allow Islamic people to be in here.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
But for me, can I do the prayer on the
yes.
Very good. Because those would be good to do the you know.
I started to break the ice, pun intended, chanting "fuck ice." The black block wearing Antifa members chanted alongside me.
I like that. No Nazis. That's why I left. Fuck ice. That's why I left the United States.
Fuck ice. Yeah.
You go upstairs too with a little lounge?
Yes, yeah, cool.
Just briefly, yeah. Wow, this is so beautiful.
Thank you.
This is all done. It's so nice.
Yeah, cool place.
Yeah, great, cool.
We're in the Antifa house.
On the second story, the guy that let us in said he needed to determine if we were down for the cause before letting us be part of the team.
This is very nice.
This is very nice. You're welcome to be here, but we came to see if you're here that you participate in whatever happening here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect.
Nice to meet you.
So you guys live here, or you just hang out?
No, or I live in the area.
Oh, okay, got it.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Christian was waiting in the getaway car a short distance away, and we walked briskly to his car. In situations like these, you must not run, but you must not walk too slow either. You must quickly get out of Dodge and not look back.
Oh my God.
Christian, can you turn it on, please?
We just got out of this place. We got inside. And they brought us all the way upstairs. They opened the door. And I said, can I do my Muslim prayer? They said, absolutely. Have you ever seen anything so absurd? It's a colorful building in the middle of, like, the Scandinavian snowscape. With just, like, clown show lights from Dante's Inferno.
But don't you want the...
Because they're like, we're not Antifa. And then they goes, there's some signs of Antifa.
Yeah.
So they're going to be pissed at me. They let me in just because I'm wearing this.
Yeah.
That's why they let me in.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
We walk out, and then we walk with, let's go.
And he's waiting in the getaway car because he can't get into the clown show from outer space because they're going to kill him. So he's our getaway driver. Are you sure you're okay with me, you being in this video? And they're gonna come after you? Okay.
They're after me to the max already, so there's nothing that I can do.
As if that wasn't enough, Christian was determined to show us a second Antifa stronghold.
It's the brick building over there.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay, the brick building we're pulling up to right now.
Yeah, look.
Is the other Antifa building.
Oh,
just pull right up.
I can see them.
Stop the car. Mm-hmm. So this is the other Antifa building. That's it right there?
Yeah.
Let's bang it.
Sure. Yeah. And they have a bar over here in that door.
That's true.
Right there?
But it looks a bit closed.
It looks like it's closed, but that's the other Antifa building and the bar.
Yeah.
What was interesting is that we had previously investigated Antifa in the United States in Oregon, specifically Rose City Antifa in Oregon while I was at Project Veritas. And we did secret recordings inside a bookstore headquarters speakeasy where they all met. And they talked about gouging out people's eyes.
Practice things like an eye gouge. It takes very little pressure to injure someone's eyes.
Now, Rose City Antifa was founded by Johan Victorian, a Swede, and his wife, Caroline, an American.
They were getting this tradecraft from someone else, someone with much more experience, someone who did this for a living. Caroline, which is the founder of RCA, moved to Sweden with her husband, who is a dual citizen.
They lived in Portland and secretly led the group before they moved to Sweden later. They live now in Varberg, Sweden, and it was Christian Peterson who discovered them all over again.
It was an incredible piece by James O'Keefe. The full version is available right now on his X page. But, you know, James has some guts going in there dressed up like that. Folks, it's great journalism. Independent journalism will save this country, and it's great work. We love to support James O'Keefe and all the incredible independent journalists out there doing their very best. So if you want to watch the full footage, that's over at his X page. But folks, we got a lot happening over here that I want to make sure we dove into. Interesting enough, the president does have a very busy afternoon today. Let's highlight what are some of the things on his current agenda right now. The president is expected to participate in a Black History Month reception. Now that's taking place at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And then at 4 p.m. Eastern time, he's participating in a signing time. No word as to what that specifically means. It does say that it's taking place at the Oval Office and it will be closed to the press. And there's also a presidential meeting as well on his policy at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that is also closed to media. Now, we got a lot of other things going on right now. We're keeping our eye right now on Mark Zuckerberg, who's expected to testify today. And it should get interesting. We saw that it has just begun, but Zuckerberg has not yet spoken. So we got our eye on that. But Zuckerberg is scheduled to take the stand at a trial. There you go. That's what it is. The trial regarding a case where he's accused of just allowing a lot of unsafe things and things to cause harm to kids' mental health to happen on his platform. So he's expected to testify to that today. So we've got our eye on that. We'll keep an eye to see how that all works out. When he does speak, if he does speak on cam, we'll bring that to you. But we got the feed up and running, so we are prepared to do just that. Also, something that I find to be quite interesting, there's a lot going on in regards to Jeffrey Epstein still. I don't know if you guys had seen, but Les Wexner is expected to testify today. Now, this is expected to be remote in front of the Oversight Committee. That's the House Committee, I should add to that. He's expected to speak to them in a closed-door questioning about his relationship with the convicted sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. So we're going to keep our eye on that because, obviously, it's closed door, unfortunately. And I don't like these closed-door things. I don't like the fact that we do these depots. We have to wait for them to release the recording because they do black things out. They do, when you're watching a full deposition, they do actually black things out. So you can't really tell what's going on sometimes. So I'd rather just do it live. Let's see what's going on. I'm a big fan of transparency, and I hope others are as well. But again, we got our eyes on that, and I wanted to make sure that was clear. I also wanted to bring you an update because yesterday I was watching, and I watched it. You guys don't have to watch. We watched CNN clips, and we watched CNN and MSNBC and all of these awful outlets. But yesterday they actually did have Ro Khan, the guy from California, the Democrat from California. Slow morning for me. He did speak about Les Wexner yesterday on CNN in regards to his relationship with Epstein. Let's listen in on clip 9.
So the House Oversight Committee, members of it, are going to Ohio tomorrow to speak to the former CEO of Victoria's Secret. That's Les Wexner. His name had been in the files, was redacted in one piece, then unredacted last week after Thomas Massie had called it out. He had a long financial and personal relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. He's denied wrongdoing. What information are you hoping to gain from him in this deposition?
What was his financial relationship with Jeffrey Epstein? Point blank, did he ever abuse young girls? And did he know of other people who were abusing young girls? How many times did he visit the island? How did Epstein make his money? So he has a lot to answer for, but it's not just him. My view is every single person who has emails showing that they visited the island, especially after Epstein was a convicted pedophile should be coming before the Congress and answering questions and be investigated. And the Justice Department should start a special prosecution investigatory committee into this issue. I mean, I get texts from survivors. I got one today with a name of someone in the file saying, what's happening? Send this to justice. Why aren't they doing anything? The survivors didn't just want these names out there. They wanted action. They want investigations. They want accountability. And it's happening in so many other countries.
It's not happening here, and there's a reason for that, of course, because our lawmakers are protecting these individuals. And again, I don't even know specifically who he's referring to there. If there are individuals that you believe should be held accountable in criminal court, and there's a pathway to being able to prosecute them, let's talk about that. Let's break down what the legal fight could actually be, and I think that's really important to highlight. And unfortunately, we're not hearing that from these individuals who keep continuously going out there and saying that they're calling for accountability. Now, folks, it's really, really fascinating to sit back and watch as to how the American people are reacting to the Epstein files. I think the administration, as many of you guys know, has handled this obviously poorly, but they don't understand how bad this really is and how bad this has become. I wanted to remind our audience, and I know I did yesterday when I was speaking with Ann Vandersteel, I mentioned this, but I want to put this in context. You know, a couple of months ago, this was back in 2025, I actually submitted a FOIA request, that's a Freedom of Information Act request, to the Bureau of Prisons. I talked about that yesterday. That request, when you send it in, by the way, because the DOJ operates the Bureau of Prisons, it's underneath them, so you'd request it through that. I put that request in, and the DOJ responded back to me by my simple request that all it asked for was the final phone call that Jeffrey Epstein made prior to his alleged suicide. Now, I'll get to why that's important here. The Bureau of Prisons, though, wrote something back to me that I found was quite strange. We located no records. That's what they told me. They had no records of Jeffrey Epstein's final phone call. Now, that phone call was made around 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern time. That was his time window to make that call. It's alleged that his final call was spent with his sister. Again, that's kind of floated around. It hasn't really been 100% confirmed. But why doesn't the Bureau of Prisons have that recording? It doesn't make sense. They record all phone calls. That's how it's supposed to be. Unless, of course, you're talking to your attorney. I believe there's some slight probably discretion that could be utilized there in regards to being able to monitor those calls. But he's not calling his attorney. How is it that the camera system wasn't working that day? And also the recording system that would have recorded that last phone call wasn't working that day. It doesn't make sense. Now, if you're wondering why I'm so hyper-focused on getting that phone call and why I even submitted this request in the first place, think state of mind. What was Jeffrey Epstein's state of mind that day? Was he suicidal? Well, it doesn't seem to make sense because we know from the emails that have officially been released just recently that Epstein's attorneys believe that they were working out a plea agreement with the DOJ. So someone who would have a sense of optimism, like he might actually be getting out, why would he take his own life? I wanted to hear from him exactly. Was his phone call with his sister? Was it a phone call that was a call where he was saying, I'll love you, goodbye, like I love you forever, whatever it might have been, a goodbye kind of tone? Or was it something that was optimistic? Again, it doesn't make sense. Now, when you look into the reports that have been released regarding this phone call that we can't seem to get any type of records on, there's this allegation that Epstein told the jail staff that he was calling his mother. Now, keep in mind, his mother died 15 years prior to that phone call, back in 2004. Now, whether the guards knew that or not, obviously you can't really hold that to them, but there's no real excuse as to why we don't have any records of that final phone call. Folks, when you get on a call, I obviously do a lot of pieces where I'm working with those who are being incarcerated currently for crimes possibly that they're charged with. And every time you get on the call, it reminds you the call's being recorded. Every call is recorded. So how is it possible that he somehow, some way made a final phone call that there's no records on? Doesn't seem to make sense. So this is one of the many elements that has me scratching my head. I don't understand how we could sit here and pretend like there's any legitimacy behind any of this. I'm sure as heck not going to pretend like this makes sense, because it doesn't. But again, I mean, we're told that we've got everything. We've got everything. That's according to our DOJ. Obviously, I'm very skeptical. But it's their claim, I guess. Folks, I spoke about it briefly yesterday as well. Congressman Tony Gonzalez is accused of having an affair with one of his staffers. Now, that staffer later committed suicide by setting herself on fire. But there's a new report, and it's obviously very, very concerning, and I saw it this morning in the New York Post, and I think it's worth your attention. It's about internal messages. Now, they're claiming that the woman who he was allegedly having an affair with, who later died by suicide, that that woman eventually admitted in text message that she was, in fact, having an affair. Now, the text message they claim, it says, our boss is who she's having an affair with. I had an affair with our boss, and I'm fine, is what the screenshot that was obtained by the New York Post says. Now, again, this is obviously deeply, deeply concerning because this woman doused herself in gasoline and set herself on fire in her backyard at her Texas home. Gonzalez has denied the affair rumors, calling them completely untrue. Untruthful was the exact quote. And also claiming that anyone who's circulating that is participating in a political attack against him. Now, again, he is up for re-election right now, and he has officially been endorsed by President Trump. Real head scratcher there. We talked about that yesterday. I don't know how the president would endorse someone like this, especially given the fact that the investigation is still underway. But here we are. Here we are. Tony Gonzalez, again, not very liked by those in Texas. Not. He is someone who's been propped up by a lot of questionable characters. A lot of people refer to him as a rhino here in Texas. A lot of people believe that he is someone who, in fact, is aligned with the cartels when it comes to not prioritizing border security like the way he should be. But those are all accusations, just like the accusation that his staffer is allegedly someone who he had an affair with. And again, Gonzalez has been quite silent on the issue, denying the initial accusations while not really reacting to any of the information. And I think it's fascinating when we sit back and watch this as it unravels, because again, I spoke about it briefly yesterday, the president's endorsements don't align with what the MAGA agenda should actually be. A lot of rhinos, a lot of people working against the MAGA agenda are the individuals who are getting his backing. And it's got a lot of his most loyal supporters saying, all right, the endorsements are actually really bad. Tony Gonzalez should have never received that endorsement. And it's really frustrating to sit back and watch this as it all unravels, of course. All right, we got a lot to discuss in just a bit. Folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the app. Again, that's how you stay in contact with us. We never know when the doors are finally going to shut. And so the best way to stay in touch with us, of course, is over at the Alex Jones app. So head on over, alexjonesapp.com right now. Make sure you download the app. Again, we don't know. This could be the final week. It's just random, but we want you to stay in touch with us. So that's the best way to do just that. Make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com. Also, I just got word, you know, Matt just rushed us into the control room. We've actually extended that sale that was supposed to end today, the mega sale over at the alexjonesstore.com. We just extended it another couple more hours. That's proper English. It's 52% off right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Again, I haven't seen prices this low since, well, forever. It's been since Christmas. So if you're in need of stocking up, maybe on some of your favorite supplements, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you do just that. Again, folks, it is 52% off site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com. Your support is what keeps us on air, and it's crucial that you help us over at thealexjonesstore.com. And also keep in mind, too, it's the final week to enter to win both the Ford Mustang as well as the Ford F-250. Plus $20,000 in cash. Every time you make a purchase over at the shop, you're entering to win one of these sick rides and a lot of cash. So it's a great investment over at thealexjonesstore.com.
An RSA. RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing methylene blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our methylene blue. Our methylene blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it. I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening here. A lot happening last night, though, in Dallas, Texas. It was a busy night for those who are looking to possibly take the torch from AG Ken Paxton in the beautiful state of Texas. A lot of candidates are looking to do just that, but I'm a little biased, and there's one that I really, really like because I believe that, number one, he's not a politician, which is always greatly appreciated. He's also been a fighter in both Paxton's team, obviously, as AG of Texas. but most importantly over at the DOJ. And his name is Aaron Reitz, and I'm very excited about this. But Aaron yesterday made me very, very proud. He was in an open debate, and he got a couple of jabs in there. But his messaging is quite clear. He's the only candidate being endorsed by Ken Paxton, and obviously, well, the state of Texas, when it comes to our AG, has been the leader in the fight for freedom. And so we can't tread lightly on this issue. We need someone who's going to fill Ken Paxton's seat, who is a brave fighter for America first. And for me, that's definitely Aaron Reitz. I know that, and I hope all of you at home do. But in case you missed his debate performance last night, let's take a listen.
I've been at the very cutting edge throughout the justice system, fighting against blue state overreach and environmentalist activists. When I was Attorney General Paxton's deputy, leading 46 lawsuits against the 46th president and winning 85% of those lawsuits, a quarter of those lawsuits were on environmental regulations, on what the Biden administration was trying to cram down on Texas, to destroy our oil and gas economy, to push the Green New scam on us, to push subsidies on us. I know how to fight against these forces and win. Not only did I do it as Paxton's deputy, but I also did it when I was a senior executive at the Justice Department, when one of President Trump's very first executive orders was to roll back the Biden-era environmental litigation that was oppressing oil and gas exploration and production. And as the head of the Office of Legal Policy, I worked with the Environment and Natural Resources Division at DOJ to roll it back. And as the next Attorney General, we are also going to turn our attention to the local environmentalists that want to obscure local ordinances to stop exploration and production. On my watch, we're going to drill, baby, drill. So don't be fooled when Chip tells you that he was Paxton's chief deputy and he wants to cite his record there. Remember, he was so ineffective, so bad at serving as Paxton's deputy, that Paxton fired him. Now, that's not often covered in the media, but I hope that the media pool does their due diligence, because they will realize that even though he wants to cite that experience, it was so bad he shouldn't be running on it today.
Congressman, would you like to respond? 30 seconds.
Well, that's simply not true, but I know someone who both of us work for that's endorsed me, and that's Senator Ted Cruz, and he has put his full confidence in me to serve as the Attorney General of Texas, Ted having served as Solicitor General for this great state. He knows what is necessary in that office, and I'm proud to have his full support and endorsement.
Well, I don't know. A Ted Cruz endorsement doesn't sell me. I'm not someone who truly believes that Ted Cruz is a fighter, and I think a lot of people are trying to flush Chip Roy out of D.C. because, well, he's hard to work with. Members of his team have told me extensively that he has always been someone who is a problem. He's been fired from several jobs. So Aaron is the only candidate that I'm going to back, and I usually just don't even back people. But, folks, this is a very important seat. This is a very important seat. And this was the last time we had him in studio, obviously. He's brave enough. Oh, and I'm wearing the same dress. Who would have known? And I'm brave enough. Well, I'm sorry. He's brave enough to come out here and to speak against Islam when it wasn't very popular. A lot of candidates actually had to wait. They waited to jump into the Islam fight. And they wanted to see how it was polling. And so because it was polling well, a lot of people jumped on board. But Aaron didn't care. He just jumped into the fray. Didn't need a poll to motivate him to do just that. And it's truly quite impressive. He is a fighter and the only one I'm going to be supporting at this point. So make sure you do just that. Also, obviously, vote for Ken Paxton. I know many of you guys are heading on over if you're a Texan right now, possibly to vote early. I would recommend Paxton, of course, because, well, John Cornyn is a deep state operative, in my opinion. As someone who has pushed for FISA to be extended time and time again, he defends it. And then lies to the American people by saying, FISA has never been used against an American citizen. There's no such thing as warrantless spying. You can't trust a guy like that. You can't. You can't. So keep that in the back of your mind as you make your way out to vote. I highly recommend everyone do just that. But I want to shift gears over a little bit. Let's talk about New York City, my former home. New York City, obviously, it's a communist takeover, as many of you guys know. And it's been pretty heartbreaking to sit back and watch. I've been watching from the sidelines, and I have not been happy. But we knew this was going to happen. In fact, everyone else is late to the game. They are far too late to the game. What do I mean by that? Well, the fact that we're now talking about how he is a communist, I mean, they waited to the very last few weeks to bring attention to that. And again, it didn't make any sense why they did just that, but now they're all jumping on board. I was watching Fox Live yesterday. I just have a bunch of stuff just running all day in my home. And they can't stop covering Zohra Mahdani press conferences. They have made him into a celebrity. Well, now that we've normalized this discussion, it's a bad news if you're a property owner in New York City. And all of my friends who did own property in New York City thankfully listened to me and they sold their property right before the election. So they're good to go. But anyone else who still owns property or even rents, because it's going to affect you if you rent, common sense, obviously, if the cost of living starts to go up for those who own property, well, it's going to go up for renters as well. But Zohra Mahdani is trying to float his budget for 2027 out there right now. And it's a little rough. So it's going to be hard for him to give all these free incentives to illegal aliens. And so what he's looking to do is potentially, and he's trying to threaten this, potentially raise property taxes on New York City homeowners. Take a listen.
I've been at the very cutting
edge. You said this is distressing.
Oh, very distressing. And what I noticed in that soundbite, you guys called it an ultimatum. I'd go as far to call it a threat. And I don't like to see elected officials threatening each other in this way. Hochul's worried about her reelection, and she knows that a tax hike in any way, shape, or form will not be received well by voters. So this isn't just about her winning. It's that people right. don't want it, and he doesn't get that message.
But he'll probably do it if she wins and beats Bruce Blake. And she'll probably do it anyway, just like the whole congestion pricing thing, which she's sure she wouldn't do.
And it was debacle.
So let's break this down. Option one, number one, tax the wealthy. Raise the taxes already on corporations. We're already one of the most unattractive tax states in the country. Mm-hmm. Can only be approved by the state government. That's where Kathy Hochul comes in. But so does the legislature.
Right.
And the Governor Hochul has insisted she isn't in favor of that. But she's already given a little bit on child care too.
Yes. And what she's trying to do is the reasonable, sensible thing. But that's when he pivots and he says, okay, if you don't give me what I want, here's what I'm going to do. And this is what is distressing, because this ends up hurting the people, many of them that he proposed that he would help with affordability, because these 3 million homes that are going to get hit with this real estate tax, these are not all millionaires. These are a lot of very normal people that will end up not being able to afford to live here. They will flee the city, and the problem gets worse.
And they are already fleeing the city for Texas, and including major corporations like J.P. Morgan, believe it or not, has more people in Texas right now at their Dallas building than that mammoth building a few blocks from here, because it pays to move the people to Texas where there is no state tax.
And I just want to make the point, because you're bringing up a great point about businesses. That's why either of these options is a terrible option, and he needs to just abort and move on to something else.
Because all right, obviously, Fox is trying to talk some common sense into a commie. It's not going to go over well. It's obviously a shakedown. He's going after the governor at her expense of possibly not winning her reelection. And again, you know, it's bad when we're referring to Kathy Hochul as being reasonable. Many of you guys know she is a radical lefty. But let's pivot for a second. We'll head back on over to the Zohra Mahdani topic, because there was a lot that happened yesterday on that front. Let's talk about a story that I saw today in Axios. Axios is claiming that the United States is inching closer and closer to a full-on war with Iran. As many of you guys know, President Trump continues to promote the fact that we're somehow having peace discussions. Now, it's been back and forth. He's been honest with the American people, saying, all right, it's not, they might not be in a place where they're really looking to negotiate. And the reporting's kind of all over the place. Right now, Axios is again claiming that we've never been at a more crucial time right now. The headline itself this morning said Trump moves closer to a major war with Iran. Now, everyone ran with that headline. Of course, I've reached out to the Pentagon to see if they have any type of details they'd like to disclose on how they feel about this Axios report. Not yet heard back, but let's break down some of the moves that they say are currently being made. They're claiming that there have been more than 150 U.S. military cargo flights that have been moved, that have been moving weapon systems and ammunition into the Middle East over these last few months. They also claim that there's been another 50 fighter jets in the last 24 hours sent towards the Middle East. Now, they're also citing the surge, the cost of oil currently, as it increasingly goes up, about $64 a barrel right now. And they believe that tensions haven't been higher. They also say that well, just given the fact that the threats that have been unleashed onto the White House right now from Iran, that they think that we are pretty much getting very, very close to full-on war. Now, that could be fear-mongering. As many of you guys know, they love to do just that. So I want to welcome our next guest to help us dissect the Iran issue. All right. Well, Nate Vance is joining us in just a few moments. We are connecting back with him. But once we get him on, folks, he's a veteran and he's someone who is an expert on the issue. He's a Marine infantryman. And as many of you guys know, he was on at Matt Tardio when he was filling in for me. But interesting enough, he is actually also the cousin of Vice President J.D. Vance as well. So we look forward to hearing from him in just a few moments. I've got a lot to ask him on that front. Specifically, if this is fear-mongering, as many of you guys know right now, the media has been inching us closer and closer, but it's not just also the media, it's also Israel. And so the harsh reality of all of this, and Nate's actually with us now, and Nate, it's an honor to have you on the program today. Thank you for being here. You know, I'm kind of trying to dissect this Axios report, and Axios is claiming that we're inching closer and closer to a war with Iran. Now, obviously, many are very skeptical of all of this, but we've seen what Israel's also done and how they are also trying to, but it appears to be pushing through the media, trying to push us a little bit closer to all of this. What's your feel for all of this Axios reporting in regards to the what they're claiming is the rapid shipment of obviously both ammunition and weapon systems to the Middle East? Do you think we're inching closer and closer to war with Iran?
I don't think you move that many assets for show. Mm-hmm. That's not a show of force. That means something. And then, you know, also recent reportings of Iran that you are the regime threatening to close down the Strait of Hormuz. That's not exactly Trump being aggressive. That's, if you want to pick a fight with the United States Navy, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're actually looking at too today. It was reported today in the media that they're actually running joint exercises over there. Now that's between Russia, China, and Iran. Obviously, that's an aggressive approach, but do you think it's more of a display or do you think it's an active threat?
I think it's more of a display. I think it's trying to encourage the United States to wait until those, you know, like if they're doing anything with those countries, it's a way of saying, don't do anything while these other countries are here because we don't want to pull them into a conflict, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a way of kind of kicking the can down the road for the Iranians. But this is not just aggressiveness by Trump. I mean, his approach is aggressive. He's setting, he's setting limits on what he wants them to do, and he's going to enforce those limits. But the Iranians are not exactly being passive here, right? Mm-hmm. Threatening to close down the Strait of Hormuz affects global trade and global energy prices. That's not something that I'm going to make fun of the U.S. Navy because it's easy and it's mostly true. But when the chips are down and they're actually in a fight, the Navy is no joke. So the U.S. Navy will open the Strait of Hormuz, but that would initiate a conflict and then a response from the Iranians. So it seems like they want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it does seem like that. And it has been inching closer and closer to, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like everything, the tensions are increasing. So the Axios report could possibly be factually true in regards to that. I've actually reached out to the Pentagon, like I mentioned earlier in the show, to get their take on all of this. And I have not yet heard back, but we'll bring that update to our audience very, very soon. But, you know, President Trump has spoken openly about trying to lead peace negotiations with Iran to work on a deal. Currently, right now, according to reports, he has designated this task with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff as well, jumping in on this fight. Do you think that we are... Is there any legitimacy behind this? You think we could actually hold peace talks with Iran? Because it seems like, based on what they've been leaking out into the media, that they're not even interested in the potential of a peace agreement.
Yeah, look, I think the peace talks will be fruitless with Iran. I don't think that, I don't want to say there's no point because mm-hmm. there is. I think for as many criticisms as people levy against President Trump, the one thing he does provide people is off ramps. Right before he does any of these actions, he gives people more opportunities than I would to comply. But also while those peace talks are going on, while that's going on, he's moving assets into the region. So if the peace talks do fail, it's an overwhelming force that's in place when they, if or when they fail, the response is insurmountable, by the Iranian regime. They won't be able to do anything with the amount of assets that are in the Middle East currently.
Yeah. It's also worth noting that the Axios also reported that a Trump advisor estimated that there's a 90% chance of a kinetic action in the next upcoming week. So to keep that in the back of your minds. But I kind of want to bring this back to Venezuela, Nate, because we saw what happened in Venezuela. The president was obviously being very aggressive publicly with Maduro and telling him to surrender very publicly. And because he didn't do so, we saw how that unraveled for him. Do you expect something similar to happen if, again, these peace talks, if they don't really have any legitimacy here, do you think the president's going to quickly step in on this front?
If I'm a betting man, yeah, I think that there's going to be an exchange between the U.S. and Iran soon, right? Mm-hmm. I can't put like actual dates on it, but yeah. It's going to be sooner rather than later. And I don't think it's going to go well for the Iranian regime. Now, as far as like what particular missions get carried out and how it's going to happen, anybody that's predicting that for you is probably lying. nobody knows, right? Yeah. Like nobody knows except for the guys in the briefing room. So, but what I can tell you is that it won't feel good on the Iranian side of things, for the regime at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're keeping our eye on all things related to that. And we've also got our inquiries into the Pentagon. So I look forward to seeing how they respond to all of this. Nate Vance, thank you for joining us today. Folks, give him a follow on X as well. It's @VanceNate. That's where you could find him at. We appreciate your services. Great country. We appreciate you jumping on and helping us understand the complexity of the issue. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to gear up right now and take it back to New York City because, oh, man, I was watching yesterday. Zohra and Madani is still out there pushing all this nonsense about raising taxes on New Yorkers. And listen, they have it coming. I mean, when you vote for this stuff, you have to understand what comes next. And it is an absolute crisis unraveling right now in New York City. Crime is surging. And he's only been in office for, what, 49 days? I mean, I knew it was going to, and I joked yesterday very lightly with Joe Pags when I was on his show. I was like, I can't believe it took this long for us to get to this point. But the reality of it is it's actually happening pretty quickly. And I don't know if New Yorkers yet have buyer's remorse as to electing this very corrupt individual. Again, I don't even know why we allowed him to run. He was an immigrant. He was not a U.S. citizen. And when he became a U.S. citizen, he lied. He lied. We could have revoked his citizenship and had him tossed from this election, but we chose not to. Keep that in the back of your minds. And I want to play this clip because this was the clip that we were talking about earlier in the show. Clip 3 is Zohra Mamdani laying out his threat to raise taxes on property owners. Take a listen.
I know that for those who have watched budget after budget, it is tempting to assume that we are engaging in the same dance as our predecessors. Let me assure you, nothing about this is typical. That's why our solutions won't be either. There are two paths to bridge this gap. The first is the most sustainable and the fairest path. This is the path of ending the drain on our city and raising taxes on the richest New Yorkers and the most profitable corporations. The onus for resolving this crisis should not be placed on the backs of working and middle-class New Yorkers. If we do not fix this structural imbalance and do not heed the calls of New Yorkers to raise taxes on the wealthy, this crisis will not disappear. It will simply return year after year, forcing harder and harsher choices each time. And if we do not go down the first path, the city will be forced down a second, more harmful path. Faced with no other choice, the city would have to exercise the only revenue lever fully within our own control. We would have to raise property taxes. We would also be forced to raid our reserves. To balance the budget as required by law, our preliminary budget takes the only path within our control, the second path. The options of the second path are the options of last resort. Options that we will only employ if there is no other means of arriving at a balanced budget.
Yeah. It's a shakedown, New York. You either give this little communist all the money he's asking for, or he's going to hold property taxes over your head. This is ideal for Republicans, obviously, heading into that very, very heated up reelection for Kathy Hochul. As many of you guys know, it's usually a landslide, just given the fact that New York City is holding both upstate New York and Long Island hostage. And so before anyone says, well, New York's going to get, no, it's pretty red, I'd say, up in upstate, as well as Long Island's pretty moderate as well. It's New York that holds it hostage. But, you know, there's some reasonable folks still out there. Eric Adams, as many of you guys know, he was the former New York City mayor. He actually commented on it, saying free isn't free. It's just a bill someone else has to pay. Yes.
factually true, 100%. You see, so many New Yorkers didn't realize this was a communist takeover. This was a communist takeover. I know that they thought they were going to get free and affordable housing. It was a promise that was laid out. But, and it's going to be a rough lesson for New Yorkers, but the reality of it is it's going to cost them a lot. It is going to cost them an absurd amount of money. It's already extremely expensive to live in New York City, by the way. I don't understand. He sits there and pretends like it's just property taxes that are going to go up. That includes rent. And I know he wants to sit there and pretend like he's not going to raise the rent on people, create legislation to make sure that doesn't happen. People are going to flee. Landlords are going to go bankrupt. But this is all a part of the plan. It is an Islamic takeover of New York City. And this has always been the plan. And so we're just sitting on the sidelines watching what unravels. And it's obviously personal on a personal level for me as a New Yorker. It is devastating. But folks, this is what happens. I mean, it could be a nearly, as you see here, it could be a nearly 10% property tax increase. And this is absurd. But they voted for this, allegedly. This is what's happening in New York right now. And it's worth noting, too, I posted about it over the weekend. Crime is surging, crime on public transportation specifically. And it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. But this is what was voted in, is what we're told. Right now, it looks like when it comes to mass transit, crime spiked 17% so far this year. Again, he's only been in office for 49 days. When you look at the breakdown, the comparison from last year to this year, according to the New York Post, who has obtained these statistics, the New York Post came out and said that so far for the year, there's been 246 incidences. And when you compare it to last year, there was only about 210. Robberies have also soared. They're at about 58%. And assaults are also climbing 9% as well. So there's a lot of violence going on in New York City right now. And it's only the beginning. We haven't even officially hit the 2-month mark with this man. Kathy Hochul knows it's a problem. She knows that this is going to reflect on her. And Bruce Blakeman is hopefully going to be able to make a good, decent argument. Just appear to be moderate. That's my only suggestion in all of this. Appear to be very moderate. Because you got to try to win New York City. I sit on the sidelines and watch this all the time. I'm like, it's going to get real bad for New York. And hopefully they could somehow, even though I think the New York GOP is a group of just losers, but to somehow pull those people in to vote in New York City. Upstate New York is not the problem. Long Island's not the problem. Those damn liberals in New York City. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now because we just extended that mega sale. I know I told you yesterday it was ending in a few hours, but now with this extension, it's going to end in a few hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 52% off site-wide. Some of your favorite items right now are on sale at prices I've never seen before. Again, I can't stop bragging about those energy shots. I do one a day in the morning. That's why I'm, you know, very high energy right now. No jitters. It's clean. It's just vitamins. And there's no caffeine. It's the best thing you could start your mornings with, as well as our electrolytes that we just launched just last week. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab these up. It is an incredible discount that you won't get anywhere else. Again, it's thealexjonesstore.com, 52% off while supplies last. And of course, only a couple more hours left in that.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We send it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal. Is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Join the discussion. The phone number is 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. That is the number you can call into if you want to join the show. Of course, we've got a lot to sound off on. We'll be taking your calls throughout this hour and a little bit into the next hour. So if you were calling yesterday, we didn't have enough time to get to you. Call soon. You got to call real quick. You got to be the first one on the list. We try to get to everyone, of course, and I'm trying to expand the timing, of course, give everyone like an hour at least, so we get through as many calls as possible. But, you know, every now and then, doesn't really work out. I also want to give a quick shout out right now over at citizenfreepress.com. He is streaming our show, and I am a big fan of Kane, and he's been a great supporter of mine for many, many years now, helping me when I first stepped into the independent world. And so it's an honor to be featured up at CFP. You guys don't use CFP every single day. You're really behind right now, I must say. Citizen Free Press is actually where I go. And many of us here on InfoWars, when we start off our day to see what's going on in the news cycle, Kane and his team work incredibly quick to get the most important stories up on the website. And so we are honored to be featured there. And just want to give that quick shout out and thank Kane for doing just that and supporting us continuously. We are very, 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 very proud of him and all the incredible work that he does. So thank you, Kane. All right, folks, we got a lot happening in the next hour. Like I mentioned, the State Department finally doing something that we've been hoping they would do, and that's revoke thousands of visas, people we don't want in this country. Well, they got the boot. I'll break down the numbers, and those who have, they've had their visas pulled. This includes probably the worst of the worst, people accused and not accused, sorry, convicted of sexual assault, DUI, child abuse, you know, people that the Biden regime loves to allow into our country. I will break down that report because, you know, I have my eyes all over that. And it's going to be quite interesting as we see how the State Department handles all of this. They've been pretty decent on a lot of these issues. So we'll keep our eye on that. We'll also talk about the very latest in regards to ICE. I'll show you a video. We'll spare you for now. But one of the individuals who was a part of the violent protests, he was an agitator. He's just pleaded guilty. I'll show you the evidence. Obviously, there's a lot of evidence against him. But it was a high-profile case. The federal government was hunting this guy down. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Also, good news in regards to Sharia. That is, for those of us who don't want Sharia anywhere in this country, the Sharia caucus is expanding. I'll bring you the latest count. And it's very impressive on how many politicians are actually now speaking out on the issue that is Islam. It's quite fascinating, right? Rasmussen Reports dropped a poll just a few weeks ago and was detailing how most Americans truly do fear Islam and its expansion here in the United States. There was also that Turning Point poll that was also taken, and it was a top issue for so many conservative Christians. And so as a result of all of that, you finally have a lot of people jumping on board. Amy Meck is someone who's been in this fight from day one, and she's done an incredible job at fighting back. She's never had this level of support before, and I think it's quite impressive. You know, we saw Amy Meck, which we rarely do. She was at a congressional hearing, and I was so proud of her for being there. But she was right behind another friend of the show, Robert Spencer, who was speaking out on the issue that is Islam, obviously. You know, Robert Spencer has been brave enough, again, another one, in this fight for far too long, I'd say.
But he's not giving up anytime soon. And the reason why I say far too long is because he's been trying to warn the American people as to what's happening. And sadly, not many have reacted to the information he's put out there. Now, they even tried to kill him. They've tried their hardest to go after Robert Spencer, but he testified and Amy Mech was right behind him as well. And I know it ticked off a lot of the Islamists. I did see that Kerr was not very happy about it either. But here we are, folks. It's so impressive to see all these incredible patriots come forward and speak out on this issue. And so we'll dive into that in just a bit. We'll also be joined by Tom Renz. Why? Well, there's something I'm very passionate about. And it's my dogs. It's my dogs. As many of you guys know, if you follow me on X, that's at Brianna Morello, I constantly am posting about my pups. And I don't feed them dog food. And I'll explain to you while we have Tom Renz on the show why I don't feed them dog food. And I don't think you should either. Tons of chemicals in there. It's like the processed garbage that they put in our food, but it's worse. Significantly worse. Renz is jumping on because he's very passionate about the subject as well. And he'll be there, you go. They've got that one on standby all the time. Folks, we got more to discuss in a bit. Don't go anywhere. The American Journal is only starting. We know we're about an hour in, but we're still starting off, so don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Waking up America, one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Last night, I talked to Texas Senate candidate James Tallarico, but it wasn't on the show. It wasn't on the show. We put the interview on our YouTube channel because of something called the Equal Time Rule. And that rule says that if a show on broadcast television has a qualified candidate on during an election, they have to offer equal time to all that candidate's opponents. It's a pretty famous rule. But here's the thing. There has long been a very famous exception to that rule, and that exception included talk shows, interviews with politicians. We looked, and we can't find one example of this rule being enforced for any talk show interview, not only for my entire late night career, but for anyone's late night career going back to the 1960s. But on January 21st, we heard from FCC Chairman Brendan Carr, seen here testifying how to purple and nurple. Carr, he issued a letter saying he was thinking about getting rid of that talk show exception. He had not gotten rid of it yet, but CBS generously did it for him and told me unilaterally that I had to abide by the equal time rules, something I have never been asked to do for an interview in the 21 years of this job. Now, that decision, I want to be clear, is their right, just like I have the right to talk about their decision on air. Last night, all right. Last night I did, and people who interview politicians for a living noticed.
Stephen Colbert making headlines.
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert.
Wow, everyone's talking about this Stephen Colbert fella. You know what I think? You know what I think? Somebody that popular should get their own talk show. Anyway, I said my piece last night. We made some jokes. It's what they pay me for. And I was ready to let the whole thing go. Until a few hours ago, when my group chat blowed up because, without ever talking to me, the corporation put out this press release, this statement. Now, this is a surprisingly small piece of paper considering how many butts it's trying to cover. In it, they say, The Late Show was not prohibited by CBS from broadcasting the interview with Representative James Tallarico. The show was provided legal guidance that the broadcast could trigger the FCC equal time rule for two other candidates, including Representative Jasmine Crockett, and presented options for how the equal time for other candidates could be fulfilled. The Late Show decided to present the interview through its YouTube channel with on-air promotion on the broadcast rather than potentially providing the equal time options. Now, clearly, this statement was written by, and I'm guessing, four lawyers. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't want to tell them how to do their jobs. But since they seem intent on telling me how to do mine, here we go. Fellas, I am well aware that we can book other guests. I didn't need to be presented with that option. I've had Jasmine Crockett on my show twice. I could prove that to you. I could prove that to you, but the network won't let me show you her picture without including her opponents. So I'll have to show you this picture of Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein instead. They made me do it. I didn't want to.
What an absolute loser. I'll step in on this one because obviously it's just a grift. Folks, I've worked in media, obviously. I've worked at Fox. I could promise you that this is what goes on. Okay. I know this because behind closed doors, this is what they always talk about. They want to be fair. They want to be balanced. So you got to give both times, both opportunities to both sides. And so for one, this doesn't seem to make any sense. Sounds like a grift to me. Well, it sounds like he's using this to fundraise off of. Tallarico is someone who I've actually never heard of. I think we played one clip from him. He's a state representative in Texas, just to give you some background. Far lefty. This is actually helping him out. He's able to fundraise off of this. He's racked in about $2.5 million since this little stunt that was committed, obviously, by the failed comedian. And as a result of all of this, well, I mean, that's pretty impressive. $2.5 million. He would have never in a million years been able to bring in that money otherwise. Never. So as we continue to dig into this, just know that you got people out there who are posing as comedians who are sitting there and they're trying to help fundraise. This has obviously done him wonders, Tallarico, because nobody knows who he is. He has not had an impact in, he hasn't had an impact here in Texas. So just keep that in the back of your minds. All right, folks, let's pivot a little bit. I'm getting this live feed right now. The Georgia Election Board is holding its first meeting since the FBI raid today. That's happening today. It looks like we could be watching this live. We'll bring it to you if anything important happens, but I just noticed that notification had gone out, and we're keeping our eye on it. Again, a lot happening in Fulton County still. That's where we're getting the heat on for a lot of this. Oh, by the way, folks, remember when we played that clip from John Solomon in regards to John Solomon saying there was going to be a raid in Arizona? That was according to his sources. Still no raid in Arizona regarding the Maricopa County Elections Center. I know he hinted that was going to happen last week. Still nothing there. I've been waiting patiently, very, very patiently. I also want to swing things over right now. It looks like there's we could get to that in a little bit. He's not talking yet. All right. I want to dive into this one, too. Let's talk about the State Department, because right now the State Department has announced that it has revoked about 100,000 foreign nationals who were arrested or have been convicted of crimes here in the United States. Now, when you break this all down, it has some of the lowest of lows individuals who you wouldn't want in this country in the first place, like individuals who have been priorly convicted of domestic violence, sexual abuse, DUI, child abuse, and assault. Now, that's just some of the individuals that they're telling us have, in fact, been, had their visas pulled, yanked. We've also got a lot more. I'm trying to scroll down on the actual claim. Because when you scroll down on it, they actually break down some examples in the tweet that was released by the State Department. And the State Department put this up yesterday. And obviously this has caused quite the stir. They don't like it when you do things like that. One individual who had his visa revoked, according to the State Department, is a foreign national who was arrested multiple times for domestic violence and public intoxication. I mean, how is this even a thing? He also did, of course, violate his bail. Another foreign national came to the United States to teach young students, then was arrested for sexually assaulting one of them. Visa revoked. There's another foreign national, of course, also accused of sexually abusing three young women. His visa has been revoked. Now, again, these are accusations, so they're going to be blurring out their faces. I don't know why we do this, but this is what they do. Again, another individual is accused of having at least two DUIs, caught going 90 miles per hour, weaving in and out of traffic, visa revoked. And the list goes on and on. Is it a good move? Yes. Getting a visa is not their right. They don't have a right to our visas. But folks, should we be doing this? Yes. Should it be done in an aggressive stance? Yes. You need to set the tone. We don't need these people in our country, and I appreciate when we openly say just that. Coming to the United States on a visa is not their right. They don't have a right to that. They don't. Remember that guy, Kilmar Garcia? We're on the topic of the feds trying to crunch down. All right, the Kilmar Garcia story is one of the most wildest ones, right? Because we deported him, we sent him off, and we brought him back into the country because apparently he is someone who is qualified for due process. Now, this individual has been accused of being a human trafficker, also being associated with cartels and whatnot. Again, he denies all of this, and he's had multiple attempts to make pleas to immigration courts to keep him here. He's claiming that he could potentially be a victim of violence if he is sent back to his country. Now, isn't that something that's fascinating? A victim, if he's shipped back. Well, it's very unfortunate right now because the Trump administration, and they brought him back in. They brought him back into the country time and time again. Well, now a federal judge has ruled that ICE is blocked from re-detaining Garcia as the 90-day post-removal detention period has expired and the government lacks realistic or viable plans to deport him. I mean, that's obviously a big story. Of course, they're going to appeal it. Of course, they're going to try to push back. It looks like Zuckerberg might be speaking right now. I just want to make sure that we have the right feed going. I DM'd it to you guys. But it looks like this might, it says live.
Is there a way for parents to make a request on what their kid can see or not see on your sites?
There are a lot of parental controls. I'm not sure if they're, I don't think that we currently have a control around topics, but we do allow parents to control the time that the children are on the site. And also a lot of it is based on kind of monitoring and understanding what the teen's experience is.
Mr. Citrin, Discord allows pornography on its site. Now, reportedly 17% of minors who use Discord have had online sexual interactions on your platform, 17%. And 10% had those interactions with someone that the minor believed to be an adult. Do you restrict minors from accessing Discord servers that host pornographic material on them?
All right, let me step in on this. They're running it as a live feed, but I don't think this is live right now. He's supposed to be testifying, and we're getting the details for you right now. He's supposed to be testifying in a landmark case right now. Now, right now, a CNN news website is actually running this as a live feed, but I don't think this is live right now because I don't think this is in front of Congress. But we're looking at this. We'll dive into it and make sure that we're bringing you the most accurate information. But we've got our eyes on just that. All right, let's keep diving into it. So again, yeah, he's being, it's a total toss up. You know how many left wing organizations jumped in on all of this when it came to Kilmar Garcia? He's got the best representation right now going on. The best. Folks, we're taking your calls too in just a little bit. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539. That's the number to call into right now. Remember this story? You guys probably remember this. This is a video of a man who was throwing concrete bricks. He was throwing them at Border Patrol vehicles as they were passing through. You definitely remember this because there was a massive reward out for anyone who had him arrested. Well, he just pleaded guilty yesterday. And so this individual is actually facing at least 20 years in prison after pleading guilty in court. Which is quite impressive, folks, that they were able to secure his plea of guilt. 20 years in prison is what he's currently facing. Absolutely, he could have killed someone. You know, there are all these stories in Long Island. I'll never forget when it came closer and closer to Thanksgiving, people were literally throwing frozen turkeys off of the bridges as cars were passing by. And it hit one woman in the face, and the damage that was done to her face, she needed facial reconstruction and everything. I mean, the damage that this guy could have done, he could have killed one of these officers. But they don't care. We're dealing with terrorists here. So a win's a win when the DOJ is able to possibly get, here you go, this one was it. She actually passed away, that's crazy. Yeah, remember the story as a kid growing up. And it was absolutely heartbreaking. But folks, this is the amount of damage that could be done. You can't just turn away and ignore it. You have to actually address these issues. These people need to go to prison. They need to go to prison. I want to play this clip to make sure it's on your radar. Clip 7, we're going to listen to CNN's Pam Brown, who apparently is now announcing a special project where she's going to be going after Christian nationalism. Take a listen to clip 7.
Well, for the past several months, I've been working on a special project examining the growing influence of Christian nationalism in America. If you're not familiar, Christian nationalism is an ideology rooted in the belief that our country was founded as a Christian nation and that our laws and institutions should reflect Christian values. In the lead up to my hour-long documentary this weekend, we're going to bring you a preview of what you'll see, starting off with the assassination of Charlie Kirk last year. Experts say it was a pivotal moment for the movement and an occasion where the tragedy of his loss unified Christian nationalists and the Trump administration as they honored him.
September 21st, 2025.
America is a nation in grief, a nation in shock, and a nation in mourning. Charles James Kirk was heinously murdered.
That young man. I forgive him.
Charlie Kirk, a conservative activist and prominent Christian nationalist, was assassinated. It became a rallying call for those who believed in his message.
Our greatest evangelist for American liberty became immortal.
And it was a call to action.
My charge to all of you, put Christ at the center of your life as he advocated for giving his.
Memorial service was one of the most potent examples of this shift in our culture that we're experiencing right now, where a large segment of American Christians are being activated by these ideas, radicalized by these ideas that say that they are the persecuted ones and that they need to stand up for Christians' rights.
This is the new narrative they're trying to drum up, of course. They are trying their very best to drum up this narrative. Again, folks, the number is 877-789-2539. That's the number you're going to want to call into if you want to join the show. I want to pivot to another interesting thing. I don't know if it's going to turn into like the food show. I really don't know. But I might as well just do it. I think it's really, really interesting when we talk about food, and I do it all the time. A Chicago man has filed a lawsuit. This was back in 2023 against Buffalo Wild Wings. If you're wondering why I'm talking about this, it's because I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating because he claimed that the boneless wings, which is the title, obviously, of boneless wings, is false advertising. He argued that it was actually just sliced chicken breast, And it wasn't actually the wing being deboned and then made boneless. Now, obviously, that's outrageous if you're someone who has too much spare time on your hands, so you sue. Well, a federal judge just dismissed the proposed class action lawsuits. He did just that yesterday by issuing a 10-page ruling. There's a lot of puns in it, too, though. The judge said that the complaint has no meat on its bone. I like it. I like this judge. Finding that reasonable consumers aren't being misled by the term boneless wings because it's common sense, you fool. It's common sense. They also go on to say that there's been other things that are on menu items all across the country. Like chicken fingers. No one thinks it's an actual finger of a chicken. You just know that it's a long-shaped piece of chicken. So the judge just tossed the lawsuit. And if he wants to make any changes, he can try to bring it back in. But Buffalo Wild Wings can keep its boneless wings option. And they don't have to surrender. I just think it's so funny. See, there's a lot of things that they try to claim are obviously being misleading. And specifically, by the way, he was trying to go after Illinois, the state of Illinois, and utilize their courts to say that this violates their courts. This was a U.S. district judge who decided to shoot this down, a federal judge. So it's probably accurate. I'll never forget. Okay, so as many of you guys know, I wear many hats, and I started working at 14, so I got a lot of stories for you. We'll do this one. There's a story about when I worked in, I know the control room's going to hate me for this one, but I did work at Buffalo Wild Wings. This was while I was in college. It wasn't the best place to work for me, but it was right by my school, SUNY Old Westbury. We had a Buffalo Wild Wings open up, and so I was working there, and there was actually a story that they made us, like all of us know, the ribs there are not beef, in case you're wondering. They are pork ribs. This was back in the day. This was, gosh, probably 10 years ago. And so you had to tell people, because this is when the Islamic takeover was beginning in Nassau County, in Long Island, and we were far warned to tell everyone that it's not beef ribs or pork ribs. Well, unfortunately for one server who didn't pay attention to that, there was a Muslim family eating there, and he actually told them, and he was not being truthful. He told them it was beef. They ate it, and it was an absolute mess in the dining room. Individuals trying their best to throw it up. And I had just missed this table because this table was actually supposed to be mine. Now, as you could assume, that didn't go over very well for the server. As many of you guys know, not very well. He did get in a lot of trouble. And I don't know if they even sued. I actually left shortly after. I did not like working there. Not a fan of their... One of my favorite things to eat is fried pickles, and they do not have good fried pickles, in my opinion. But anyway, so that's how that happened. Another one of my college working stories for you guys. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We just extended the mega sale. 52% off site-wide is going on right now over at the shop. Again, I know yesterday I told you that it was not going to last very long, only a couple more hours, but we extended it because it was so popular. So if you want to head on over to the shop right now, it's going to go on for another couple of hours since it's been extended. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. The mega sale is going on right this second. And now is the time to stock up on all your favorites, whether it's methylene blue, red, or maybe it's something like, you know, energy shots or the electrolytes that we just started selling over at the shop. It's an incredible savings that you're getting right now, 52% off. For the electrolyte drink mix, by the way, that's even cheaper than what you're going to get at the supermarket. It breaks down to a little over a dollar for each one. Again, you're not going to get any other offer like that over at the supermarket. So you got to head on over. This is great quality products. Optimal human hydration is what it's called. We have the two flavors, what I highly recommend, strawberry lemonade, one of my favorites. It also includes the French sea salt as well. It's the perfect way to start your day every single day. You need to do this. People don't realize it, but when you're not drinking enough fluids each day, it actually truly does affect not only your energy, but it also affects your mood. So head on over to the shop right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, we're taking your calls in the next segment. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539. That is the number you are going to want to call into the show. We appreciate, of course, when you do just that. So join in and do it. We'll also be, well, let me just remind you, download the app, alexjonesapp.com. You got to do that as well. If you haven't done so already, it's the best way to stay in contact with us in case anything does change. Well, that's where we're going to be heading over to. So make sure you do just that. All right, folks, we're taking your calls in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We send it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much. And I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. Bigley does, with all their great operations they do. So if they're able to shut down InfoWars, as you can read about the news, they're still trying. It doesn't matter, because Bigley owns that, and they're our sponsor, and they've built the Alex Jones Network backup studios and are helping build the new studios. I just work for them in the future. I don't yet, and so they can't stop me. They'll be the owner. I'll be the news director. So you're not just funding the current operation. They're funding InfoWars as well, like 90% of the funding. They're also funding the future. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now and take advantage of the biggest sale of the year, 52% off store-wide. And everybody buying anything should commit in the lightest, easiest way. Become a VIP for $30 a month with one click. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, discount sales on top of other sales on top of everything. If you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. The reason I say it's a very light commitment, you can cancel anytime for free with one click. Just for whatever day of the month you sign up as a VIP, it rolls around every month and charges you $30. You don't like it for whatever reason, you get your $40, you spend it, you get your discounts, all that, then don't have any money at the time, whatever, you just cancel. So if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP, because you get $40 instantly to spend in the store. You make $10, and it lowers the cost of everything you just bought on top of the sale. If you're a VIP, at 50% off, some of these products are loss leaders, meaning we're losing money. But because we have I didn't understand this. We have a repeat sale on the store of 98%. No one has that. On the supplements, over 80% reorder individually. That's how good these are. So take advantage now. You have less than 48 hours until tomorrow night at midnight. You have until tomorrow night at midnight. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, we're going to get to your calls in a little bit. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into if you want to join the show. It looks like Fox has an update regarding Iran, the discussions that are taking place currently between the United States and Iran as tensions, according to Axios, continue to heat up. Let's get to clip 13.
Yeah, both sides acknowledge that these talks are going to continue. But the vice president's most telling statement after all this was that the U.S. is dealing with a crazy regime in Iran and that President Trump reserves the right to say when he thinks the natural course of diplomacy has reached its end.
You know, in some ways it went well. They agreed to meet afterwards. But in other ways, it was very clear that the president has set some red lines that the Iranians are not yet willing to actually acknowledge and work through. So we're going to keep on working it. We would very much like, as the president has said, to resolve this through a conversation and a diplomatic negotiation. But the president has all options on the table.
Vance made clear the indirect talks, which were mediated by Oman and involved Trump special envoy Steve Witkoff and son-in-law Jared Kushner, made no breakthroughs in Geneva despite lasting about 3.5 hours. As negotiations resumed, Iran sent an implicit message carrying out military exercises in the Strait of Hormuz. State media showed footage of cruise missiles launching from trucks and boats, and the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini also threatened to send a U.S. aircraft carrier to the bottom of the sea. But the two sides did agree to exchange drafts on a potential deal reportedly and talk again in 2 weeks. Iran's foreign minister said in a statement, "We managed to reach a general agreement on a number of guiding principles based on which we will move forward from now on and start working on text for a possible agreement. It was agreed that both sides start working on the text for a possible agreement and then exchange drafts and decide on a date for the third round." The New York Times is reporting Iran signaled some willingness to suspend nuclear enrichment over the duration of Trump's term in office, and then join a regional consortium for civilian-grade nuclear enrichment, all in exchange for the U.S. lifting banking sanctions and the embargo on oil sales. But the
that's giving us a little bit of sense of optimism. They are inching closer and closer to at least being open. I'm not going to oversell it. They're at least open to discussions, and I think that's really, really important. So I wanted to bring you that update. I want to get to the callers, though. As many of you guys know, we're taking calls this hour, as well as a little bit into the next. So if you haven't done so already, 877-789-2539 is the number to call into. Colby in Wisconsin is the first one up, I believe, and he is looking to speak about Epstein. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna, good morning. Yeah, I kind of have tunnel vision with this Epstein stuff. I was wanted to bounce an idea off of you about, you know, kind of like J6. Because that was, like, one of the most, like, epic protests ever, like, had some of the most kino and best optics. And plus, like, the reason they were fighting for, you know, America and freedom was obviously the best things to fight for. I was thinking, like, instead of meeting up at the Capitol and getting sucked into some big Fed trap, how about we all meet at, like, Zora Ranch and have, like, a party there, you know? My birthday's coming up. You know, we could have, like, a big party, kind of like what was at Area 51, and maybe do some, like, Scooby-Doo investigating. We could play some, like, Avicii. And, like, I think it would be horrible optics if, you know, like, the federal police or the police in general were, like, defending the unveiling and investigation of Zorro Ranch, which I think, according to a host, I mean, according to a guest that Harrison had on yesterday, you know, he wasn't really able to explore the ranch that much. But I wanted to hear your thoughts on that, about having a civilian investigation over there. Kind of going over the island would be a little difficult, you know, but New Mexico's not that far away. What do you think?
Well, the idea of a protest I like. I just don't know how effective it would be right now, but I wanted to. I know lawmakers locally in New Mexico have been trying to launch this investigation. I know that this commitment has been renewed lately. I'm looking up the latest right now just to make sure I have the most current information. I do know that they were trying to pressure the individual who now owns the property to allow just that. I know there were also several efforts that were made, and I'm trying to remember what exactly. This is me going back in the Wayback Machine in my head right now, trying to figure out who it was specifically, but they were trying to, because they believe that there were children possibly buried over at the ranch. They were trying their best to get, obviously, the dogs that would be able to locate those bodies, but many efforts have failed. So, no, I think it needs to be looked into still. And let's see, what's the latest on this? New Mexico, the House of Representatives has approved creating the bipartisan special committee to investigate the ranch. So there's definitely wheels in motion for that front. Again, there's a desire from the American people to learn more about this and specifically what was happening here. And I think, though, a show out of Americans who are demanding answers would definitely make local officials have to kind of move on this one. It would be great to see, though. Now, this committee would have the authority to bring forward witnesses, but also issue subpoenas, which would be key. So that's the latest update now that they passed that. That was back on Monday. So, yeah, no, I think it's definitely a good place to start. I mean, there's so many places to start with all of this. So many. Thank you for calling in. I greatly appreciate you doing just that. When it comes to all of this, though, I'm starting to lose faith in our government being able to hold these individuals, these sick demons, accountable. And so that's where I am on that front. A little black-pilled when it comes to the Epstein stuff because I can't believe we allowed it to get this bad. Let's welcome back to the show Tim in Seattle. Tim, I hear you want to talk about Bill Gates. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna, how you doing? Hope all is well with you. And fantastic show this morning. I think a protest would be actually fantastic. I think that people should go to as many of the Epstein Island destinations or the Epstein destination and protest. Because if we don't, you're right, the government will just do its best to hold its breath and wait for us to tire out.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I went to the Seattle City Council and I demanded that the city sever all ties with Bill Gates. Immediately, based off of the revelations in the Epstein emails and stuff. He was an employee at the Gates Foundation for a while and friends for 7 years. So I think if we create this amount of pressure in the country, I think that the establishment will have to at least, you know, give us some concessions, you know, or we're kind of screwed.
Yeah, well, Tim, specifically for those who don't live in Seattle, can you break down specifically the city of Seattle's involvement with Bill Gates, so our audience is aware?
The city of Seattle allows Gates to basically have a rent-free structure that Gates Foundation, you know, rented to him at a very low rate. There's also a lot of ties. He's got his medical interests. He's got his with the donations. I'm going to go to the University of Washington today too. But he's got his building, and then he also has a lot of education ties. There's a tons of stuff that he's doing in the education in the city of Seattle as well, and all of his quote-unquote philanthropic, you know, endeavors and whatnot. But it's mostly just climate change garbage and UN Agenda 2030. That's all it is, really.
Yeah.
So the city of Seattle has to at least publicly get rid of Gates. I mean, all the cities do. I mean, this or our ruling class is we're no longer, you know, Republicans and Democrats. We're basically just hostages of the pedophile network.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we're at. That the emperor does not have any clothes anymore. You just have to have the eyes to see it. And it's plain as day. I mean, they're eating children.
Yeah.
This can't be forgotten. We're not a serious people. I mean, all of that hype that we did about American exceptionalism is, it's all just, you know, BS, you know? So God bless everybody. I hope you guys don't let this happen. I hope you don't let them normalize it and make it just all go away. Because the distractions, the wars, all of that stuff is meant to make you look away. So thank you very much for your time, Brian. I appreciate it.
Tim, thank you as always. And thanks for speaking up on the front in Seattle. We know it's rough these days, but we appreciate you doing just that. Let's turn to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Epstein, but before I talk about Epstein, yesterday, it was another great show yesterday and talking about glyphosate, and which has been big on my checklist for the family, trying to get as much products, as much food free of that. And I'm curious if you've ever heard of the independent third-party certification company that is called BioChecked.
Mm-mm, I haven't. Tell me about BioChecked, because, you know, I'm always fascinated by this stuff because we've got to find a healthier solution. So tell me a little bit about the company.
Yeah, I think it's right up your alley with the glyphosate, because they're a third-party testing company, and they have similarities, which I really like, with Mike Adams.
Mm-hmm.
So they're accredited laboratory standards. They have an ISO 17025. Mike has that as well. So I trust in this company because Lord knows we have all these companies that claim this and that, and then it ends up, we find out later. But the reason, the way that I found out about this company was just buying 1 degree sprouted rolled oats, and they have the glyphosate certification on it. And if you go to that site and go in there, they actually, they have several different categories. So they'll have the non-GMO certified, the glyphosate certified, grass-fed certified. And the gentleman that started the company it's pretty cool to read about that as well. And then they also list in under the glyphosate, mm-hmm. There's a short list, but they have brands that are non-glyphosate certified, which I recommend going to as well. And there's a bunch of new listings like Trader Joe's, Kirkland, of selling foods like that. And I think this is the next step with Maha to get this type of thing branched over so we can make sure that people are getting things that are legitimately certified. And then hopefully that starts to lower the cost of a lot of it. Like buying the oats at Costco is super cheap. Mm-hmm. And then I use them for long-term storage. I seal them and put them away for 10 years and they're good to go. So that's that. And then also, I think the other part of that too is that there's so much to be said about how to get rid of it, mm-hmm. how to get it out of your system. And then we also know that omega-6 with processed foods, right? Ultra processed foods and seed oils are a huge thing. And anybody that's interested, I have found the best way to get it is just be on a toxin binder. Global Health, Dr. Group, has an awesome product. He also has EDTA for heavy metals. And then his oxy powder is based off of what, his own words is that he actually has his technology was kind of based off of Tesla. Tesla used the same type of the magnesium oxate that he was using that to clean his system. So, getting omega-6 can take like 2 to 3 years to get out of your system, according to Dr. Mercola. So, I mean, and you can lower it. There's a C15 that you can get. There's an acid that you can get. I'm not going to say because I'll probably split, but it's called C15, and it drops it down to 12 to 18 months, according to Dr. Mercola, to get those omega-6. Because if you're just eating chicken that's fed grain with, who knows, with all this ultra-processed food. So, and thank you for the tip on the pasta.
Everyone loves that tip.
Yes. Yeah, that's very good to know, because wouldn't it be great to eat pasta like Mel Gibson, he's been talking lately, where you can lose weight eating it?
I know.
And bread.
That would be great. But,
real quick, with what I wanted to say about Epstein, I wanted to compare it to December of 2020, and when Patrick Byrne and General Flynn were at the White House. I don't know if you can remember back to that time, and just for me personally, that was probably one of the darkest periods I felt for myself, for a lot of people, and specifically politically for Trump. And I just felt like I got this impression. I don't know if everybody else felt this way, but I just felt like everybody turned on him, and he had two guys that went in to try to help him. We're at that point where I compare it to the scene, the classic fight scene in They Live, where you have Frank and I think George, they're, fighting, and Roddy Piper is basically We the People. And Keith David's character, Frank, is Trump. And we're trying to get those glasses on him, right? We the people are like, dude, put the glasses on. Get the glasses on and see what's going on here. I don't want this to end up where we start to get into midterms. Who knows what happens there? I don't feel good about it. And then next thing you know, everybody's turning on him. All the people that turn on, go back and look at the history. And then we're sitting here thinking, okay, we warned you. Somebody needs to get in that office, and because it's not going to break ties with Susie Wiles. He's not going to, and nothing's going to change there. Somebody needs to get in and put the glasses on Trump so he can see. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. Thanks for taking my call.
No, Chad, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your insight. Yeah, yeah. I mean, things are not getting any better right now. I wish I had a more optimistic take on all of this. I'm talking to a lot of people who are within the administration, a lot of people putting in their 2 weeks notice, a lot of people just looking for a way out. It's quite the turnaround. I was very optimistic at first, and I'm not really feeling it these days, but don't let me blackpill the rest of you. As many of you guys know, even Chad, it does feel like there are dark times going on right now. Chad, thank you for calling to the show. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Of course, let's turn to Benny in Tennessee. Benny, welcome to the show. I hear you want to talk about U.S. aid.
I think we're never going to be MAGA unless we can stop trying to make every solution the other side's fault. I think that we need to get together, somehow break that first gear loose so that the gear can start rolling again. We can start making some progress as a country instead of just constantly fighting. So here's a suggestion that I have. Mm-hmm. In Biden's last year, he tried really hard to pay off student loans. And as conservatives who, we didn't want taxes, it just seemed like a nice, easy gift to give away that didn't have to be. But we also want the USAID money back, and the Democrats are fighting us, you know, tooth and nail on that particular subject. So what if we got Democrats and Republicans in the office together? Republicans said, look, we'll give you the student loans. You give us the USAID. Because I personally would rather have that USAID money going to Americans than homosexuals considering bestiality in Rwanda. You know, I mean, we don't need to pay for that crap, but we could pay for something in the United States and maybe make some progress with the Democrats on, you know, we'll give you this, you give us that. And then the ball maybe gets rolling. Then maybe we can go to something like you give us a voter ID and we'll give you some kind of pathway for immigrants that have been here for more than 5 years, don't have any kind of legal record, and are gainfully employed. We'll give you a pass to citizenship for those people. But we get the voter ID, so that those people can't vote until they're citizens. Just things like that, where there's got to be something that we can agree on. And then if we make those offers and the Democrats don't take them, what do they look like? They wanted student loans to be paid off so bad. And if we offer them a solution to it and they turn on it, what are the people going to think about them? So that's just, I think that we got to get the ball rolling, and we're never going to get the ball rolling if someone doesn't find some kind of common ground that we can say, okay, look, we'll give you this, you give us that, and we'll get the ball rolling. Just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, Benny, I like how you are trying your best to extend an arm over to the other side. I don't know. From my personal opinion, I would probably just opt out of all of it. I mean, at the point where, I mean, obviously I still have student loans, and the government's not paying those anytime soon. I don't think that they should. I made the decision to go to college. It was a bad decision. It's a very bad decision. But Benny, I don't think we should negotiate with any of them. I'm kind of more of a we're not going to get anything done. We've got communists across the aisle. They've taken over the Democratic Party, and I just don't see there being common ground anymore. And so I think when conservatives or Republicans, you know, bend a knee and we try to find middle ground with those on the left, they keep trying to move the goal post. So let's say we come to an agreement on student loan or just potentially maybe, all right, we give a couple million to MSA. Doesn't end there. They'll keep going and going and going. And you shouldn't reward people who intentionally flooded into this country, millions and millions of illegal aliens to invade us and are draining the taxpayer. We also don't have the money to keep funding any type of program to pay off student loan debt or a nation in debt. Our enemy is China, Russia. They all want us to continue to be in debt. In fact, a lot of that money is Chinese money. So they've been able to kind of weed their way, I guess I should say, into our system. And so Benny, I'm on the opposition of all of this, but I like how you are looking to find middle ground, and I appreciate just that. Benny, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate that. Let's turn to Jay in New Jersey. Jay, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, Brianna. You know, just about the previous caller just now, you know, what many people don't understand, I think, is that the other side, the American communists, they don't actually want to, you know, cut student loans. They don't want to stop voter ID because they're trying to help people. It's all for, you know, domination, control. It's to keep the voters in check. And they don't, since they don't actually want those things, they're not going to even be willing to, you know, capitulates towards anything. And this is the problem with people that, you know, go back and forth and they say, let's have a compromise. We all want to get the same thing. Mm-hmm. We all do not want the same thing, in fact, because the other side is genocidal. They want population control, and there's no, and everything is a means to an end, and there can be no giving an inch to that. And, you know, that brings me to my point about the Trump administration, because I see your Twitter feed, and every morning I'm very happy that you're posting about the fact that there are no deep state arrests, and we're already almost 2 years into the Trump administration. And the fact that, you know, Donald Trump has, he promised deep state arrests, and he also promised mass deportations. And people point to all the self-deportations, but, you know, to be honest, the amount of the millions of people that have poured into this country, it's not going to be enough. And the American people don't have stomach for mass deportations, and that's proven true. And Trump capitulating to the left and not getting out of Minneapolis, that reminds me of in 2017, I believe it was, when the Trump administration backed off of child separation policy, and that was the beginning of the end, because the media pressure forced Donald Trump off of the most basic border policy. You know, they have these cartel members taking children across the border and trafficking them, and then the media forced the Trump administration to not separate those children. And that's what happened in Minnesota, in my opinion, because Trump capitulated to the media. And this is going to be a disaster going into the midterms. And Trump will be impeached every week next year. And a lot of people are not going to get out to vote. And the SAVE Act is sitting on Johnson's desk. And these people are not getting their act together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the tone right now. And thank you also for acknowledging the tweet that I post every single day. It's just not ideal. We're in a situation right now where, you know, there are people in the administration who aren't happy that we post that post every day. And, you know, it's a little upsetting that we have to continue to do it. Listen, I'll stop posting it when they start doing something that shows that they're going to go after these individuals. It was a campaign promise. We are only creating the pressure behind the scenes to make sure that it's held accountable. I mean, that's our job. You know, I'm an independent journalist, and I'm also a political commentator. And so every single day, it is my personal job now to make sure we remind the people that we haven't seen what we voted for. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. We're going to be taking your calls into the next hour of the show as well. So stay right there. If you want to join the show, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That is a number to call. We've got more to dive into. Also, in the third hour of the show, Tom Renz will be jumping on with us to go over the latest on MAHA. And I've got a lot to discuss with him on that, so we look forward to the conversation. Folks, stay put. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go anywhere, you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, because we just extended that mega sale that we were talking about earlier in the show. You know, I know I said it was going to end yesterday, but no. So popular, we're going to keep it around for a little bit. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide for our mega sale. And also, it's the final week to enter to win both the Ford Mustang and that Ford F-250, plus also we're throwing $20,000 in cash into that as well. So if you're looking for a good investment, I'd say buying something over at thealexjonesstore.com is just that. You'll enter to win one of these, or both of these sick rides, I should say, plus $20,000 in cash when you do make a purchase today. It's also 52% off site-wide, so that just adds to it. But most importantly, when you make a purchase over at the Alex Jones Store, you're supporting us and helping us stay up and running. And planning for our very next project that we have underway. So if you want to support us, the best way to do so is to make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. And we are grateful for you doing just that. All right, buckle up, folks. More to discuss in the third hour of the program. Don't go anywhere.
This is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Storewide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much. I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal. Is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months. Where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We're taking your calls in the third hour. We'll also have Tom Renz on in a little bit. Maha, we got an update for you in regards to that movement, of course. We're all fans. We're all fans. We've got a few minutes here as we take a little quick break, 5 minutes at the top of the hour for those listening radio. So for those of you listening digitally right now, we'll keep taking some phone calls. We have Clown Car on hold right now. We'll go to Clown Car right now because we've got about 4 minutes. Clown Car, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Clown Car, British Duty, ma'am. First, I'd like to bring up the $31 billion that Mondani's crying about the Adams administration left him. But you know what that money was for, right? The $31 billion?
Yeah. What was it for? You tell me.
To house and feed the immigrants that were in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So he acted like he didn't know that he was going to be facing that. That's the best part. But, you know, the one thing about Mondani is if he is here on this visa status for being, you know, what is that called, the worker visa or something that he's on because he was an entertainer and all this. And how come nobody brings up, you know, that he says the pictures were fake, but meanwhile his mother's in the Epstein files like 10 times or something like that. And so he cries about having not being able to do what he said he's going to do. And he's going to make free buses, but he raised the buses and then he's going to, you know, lower the taxes and then going against Hochul, who also was the person who said that you won't get into heaven if you don't have the COVID vaccine. That was another shocking thing that she said when she first got in office. But and that kind of skipped everybody's mind. But the best thing that Mondani has done so far is he shoveled somebody's car out during the snowstorm. Remember that?
No, I didn't see that one. I can't even imagine. He can't even lift up a bar. How does he lift a shovel?
It's amazing because actors make it look good. I guess it's AI. But
yeah, it might be AI. I've never seen him do any physical labor. He's kind of a beta male.
So it states in your visa for being here on, you know, immigrant status that you can't support or be part of any type of terrorist or hateful organization. And the Holy Land 5 is actually labeled as a terrorist organization. And in his song, his rap song, he had an illustrious rap career. I don't know if you heard. But he made a song, and in the middle of it, he starts to say about Holy Land 5 and how he supports the Holy Land 5. And he wants to make that clear to everybody to look it up, even if you don't know what Holy Land 5 is. He actually says this in a rap song. So when I looked it up, I said, look, this guy's here on a visa. How's he able to support a terrorist organization? How does nobody check people on that? How are people not just letting this stuff go? Like, the governor said, you're not getting into heaven if you don't take COVID-19 vaccine. Why wasn't this stopped right then? You know, when Adams was seen in a police briefing and he says, kill the cracker. You know, he said that in the beginning of him, you know, getting elected and, you know, running the campaign. But yet, and nobody brings up the fact that Curtis Aliva was saying, look, these guys rolled over for $10 million by Israelis. They came to me. I turned it down by the Mossad. Next thing you know, 2 weeks before Adams is out of office, hey, look, he's going to Israel now by himself for no freaking reason. But what is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I've abandoned New York, clown car.
I hear you, but, you know, if we're going to just, you know, hold somebody to something, like we're trying to hold them on immigrant status, how does he run for mayor? How does he beat his whole party with 7% of the vote be the guy that they pick? Like, that's something that Democrats alone should be upset with. You know what I mean? I'm sure it was somebody they wanted in their little group more than that guy. And it was like, oh, you got 7% of the vote. I guess he's going to win. What?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a hot mess. It's a hot mess. That's why we like to hear from you, clown car, so you could break down the latest, of course, that's going on right now. But yeah, I mean, they all saw this coming though. So there's no one else really to blame but their own people at this point. Clown car, thank you for calling in as you always do. We appreciate you. If you're on hold right now, stay put. We've got more to discuss in just about 1 minute. We'll be diving into more callers. But most importantly, we'll also be speaking with Tom Renz in a bit as well, because Tom Renz has a lot to sign off on. Plus, I'll give you an update about the FDA reversing its rejection of the Moderna mRNA vaccine. That's the flu vaccine they're claiming is a vaccine, but it probably isn't. Now it's apparently being reviewed. I'll bring you the latest.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We send it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. Third hour of the program. Welcome back. All right, we're taking your calls for the next 20 minutes, I'd say. If you want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll be going down the caller list, though. And the first one up for this hour, it's Savage Dog in Georgia. Welcome back.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Hey, I wasn't going to call. I was going to give it a break, but that evil Satanist flat that you had on there talking about Christian nationalism got me lit up.
Yeah.
First, though, I want to say to Mr. Vance, my brother, Marine brother, yeah, it's easy to pick on the Navy, and we do. But you ask any Navy corpsman, because, you know, Marine Corps is Department of Navy, and we have Navy corpsmen in combat. You ask any Navy corpsman if he's sitting down with a group of Marines, if he has to buy his own beer, and the answer is no. He'd probably get his ass kicked if he tried. So, yeah, we pick on our little brothers, but we still love them.
I hear you on that. I know. It's a going joke. I know Jesse Kelly's been on that for a while now. Jesse Kelly on X is always constantly cracking jokes, so... There's that, Savage Dog.
Well, first, Jesus said, you will be persecuted for my name's sake. And that's really all this is. And I don't know if this is a start, if it's a new pivot. Maybe they've decided it's now been long enough where we can go ahead and rip on Charlie Kirk and be safe, but they're wrong. Who was it? What network was that?
Was CNN. That was Pam Brown. Now, that documentary still has not been released yet. I believe it comes out this weekend. So we don't know the whole context of it. But as you saw, Savage Dog, in the teaser for it, I mean, she's very clearly going after what she refers to as Christian nationalism. And she, in that video as well, for those of you who might have missed it, we played that soundbite earlier in the show. She's also going over Charlie Kirk's assassination and how it revived the Christian nationalism movement is what she's going off with. But again, this is what they always do. They always try to vilify Christians. They're the easiest targets in some cases because a lot of them are just too afraid to stand up for themselves. But also, I feel like on a network like CNN, all they're really dealing with are atheists there who are poorly informed. They don't understand that Christians are by far one of the most peaceful groups of people you'll ever run into. And so I think for CNN, it's an easy target, Savage Dog.
No, they're not atheists. They're the other side. What was I going to say? Christian nationalist. Yes, I am. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's not a bad thing. But when she says it with a sneer, Christian nationalist, you know, putting, you know, just by the tone, making it a bad thing, and it'll be spun as a bad thing. And then you got that other douche on there. She's interviewing like, this is like, you know, kind of implying that it's dangerous and that. And then she's also implying that this country wasn't founded on Christian values. It most certainly was, mm-hmm. not Judeo-Christian, and I wish people would stop saying those words together. It was Christian values. And I blame the founding fathers for not wording it better. You know, worship as you please. They had no idea that Satanism would become a thing or that Islam would blow up like it did, even though our very first war was against Barbary pirates. You know, we didn't know back then. And, you know, as far as like the Second Amendment should have been written better, they had no idea because back then the nuclear bomb back then was a cannon and people had cannons on their property. And you know, people talk about, you can't have an F-16, you can't have a nuke. That's not what the Second Amendment meant at all. It actually meant, yeah, you can have a nuke. But they had no idea that technology would go that far. So far as my topic, though, the Christian nationalism, I think that it's gonna Streisand effect. She's gonna put this out, and it's gonna have a lot of people talking about it, mm-hmm. and it's gonna bring more people on because on our side, you know, like the Bible says, God has a habit of turning evil into good. For good intentions, you know, it's not going to go. It's not going to slip by. It's not going to have the effect they wanted, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll stand by and watch. I mean, you know, we'll be talking about on Monday if they do drop this piece. I'll give my honest take on it, of course. So I'll keep my eye on it, and we'll see how this goes. I mean, obviously, they tried this multiple times. There used to be this speaking event that I used to attend all the time. They always tried this Christian nationalism movement as a way of slandering it, but it wasn't. It was run by Clay Clark, and he does an incredible job at just that. So, yeah, Savage Dog, they've tried a couple of times now, and they never seem to land a punch. They do their very best. Thank you for calling in, Savage Dog. We appreciate it. It looks like a couple of other people want to talk about this as well. Bulldog in Oklahoma is also on the line to talk about Christian nationalism as well. Bulldog, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Ms. Morello?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Hey, following what Savage Dog said, I wasn't going to call in. And then you played that CNN clip where they talking about Christian nationalists. They killed Charlie Kirk. Now, you want to say who they are? Well, just look in history. Look at the repeating patterns. Look at what happened to JFK. Look at 9/11. We all know what we're talking about here. And they're going to end up trying to tie Christian nationalism with white supremacy. Mm-hmm. That's the play, just like what they did in the Super Bowl, Robert Kraft up there trying to pit Jews and blacks against whites. That's where they're going to try to hit us at, is with our belief. And yes, we are a peaceful people. We are a peaceful people. But here, when it comes down to it, when you push people to a point to where you have to face evil. You have to call. And that's where we're at. We're at the point now where we're seeing evil. We're staring it in the face. And people's going to have to draw a line. Either you're going to side with it or you're going to confront it. And we're going to have to confront it. We need to put the Bibles back in the school. And people need to get involved in their community. Need to get in church. Need to get down on your knees and pray and ask God for discernment. That's where we are as a nation right now. And they're trying to tear us apart. I know I sound like I'm ranting, but it got me hot under the collar. And I will not stand by and watch evil. I will not stand by and watch a religion be pushed upon the people of America that says that you can rape three-year-old children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're Goyim. I don't care what you are. That's evil.
Yeah.
That's all I got, Miss Morello. I'm sorry to rant.
No, Bulldog, that's the reason why we do this, and I appreciate you jumping on it. Yeah, I figured I'd put this on everyone's radar and play that clip. I know it gets us all fired up, and it's something that we should all be paying attention to. It's something we should all be paying attention to, and we need to be addressing. So, Bulldog, as always, we appreciate you calling into the show. Everyone with the great nicknames right now. Cowboy Gun from California, looks like. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome.
Okay, first-time caller. Well, I'm going to follow Savage Dog and Bulldog. This is great. They teed me up really well. But before I do, I wanted to give you a little humor. Do you remember the show Fantasy Island?
No, I don't. Sorry, I don't watch much TV.
That's okay. Your callers will remember there was a famous actor, little guy, and every time the show started, he'd be pointing in the air and he'd say, "The plane, the plane." Mm-hmm. Well, how come nobody's done a Pam Bondi, "The Dow, the Dow"? Anyway, your callers don't understand. But yeah, I'm calling to react about the Pamela Brown clip that you guys showed.
Yeah.
And ironically, it's almost word for word what you showed with a Geraldo Rivera special. It was in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was called Devil Worship Exposing Satan's Underground. And it just looked word for word. Like, it's a great clip. I haven't seen the video in some time, but if your callers are unfamiliar, it has Michael Aquino, known as the Colonel. And anybody who knows anything about the Franklin cover-up or Kathy O'Brien, which was on Alex's show yesterday, would understand who the Colonel is. And Savage Dog, I really recommend, if you don't know Aquino, please look into him. But, yeah, so basically my reaction is it's kind of like they're putting it in our faces. And the Satanism is real. People need to understand that. And we really need to stick together and kind of going off of what Bulldog just said there, and to remember a great actor, Robert Duvall, in the 2003 movie Secondhand Lions, there's a great scene called the barbecue scene, and basically a bunch of punk kids come in and mess with him when he's just trying to have his lunch, and he basically says, "You guys are messing with people that are too good-natured to do anything about it." So I agree with Bulldog. We need to all stand together and get behind it and fight the evil that's out there. And that's what I got.
I like it. I like it, Cowboy. I like that messaging. Yes, we do. We all do. We need to fight the evil, and we need to do so together. And no, I like it. I like it. Thanks for calling in, Cowboy. I appreciate it. Folks, if you haven't done so already, you want to join the show, the number's 877-789-2539. We've got about 12 more minutes of calls to be taking. So if you haven't done so already and you want to, we'll try our very best. But call in. You might as well. Let's get to the next caller. We'll start back up. Bald Eagle is next. Bald Eagle, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna, thanks for taking my call. I take exception. You can see I disagree with you from the call screener. I probably put that in there, but it's a gentle, friendly disagreement. I also disagree with Harrison. I disagree with Alex, all of you guys, because every day you get on here and you point out all the faults of the federal government and the things they're doing wrong, and then you go crawling to the federal government, the very people that created and rigged this system to benefit themselves, and you ask them to fix it so it doesn't.
Okay.
That's no different than that, giving a drunk a bottle of vodka and saying, "Get sober." It's never going to happen. There are only two things in the history of the world that have ever changed government. Do you know what they are?
I'll let you tell me.
Okay, it's finances or money and violence. Those are the only two things. Look around the world and just some of the recent events and some of the countries that have been toppled or have fallen. They haven't been taken back by the people through asking. They haven't been friendly about it. They've either stopped the flow of money or they've been violent. And that's the only way you can get change through a government system that is set up to keep you as a slave and to benefit those in charge. So I don't know what we do about this. I'm not a big fan of violence, but you can't be afraid of it. If you truly want change, you got to cut off the money or you have to get violent. Look at the left wing. It's the same bird, but look at the left wing. So, what do they do when they want change?
So, Bald Eagle, I want to hear you elaborate a little bit. You said that we are critical of the government, and then I believe the quote was crawling back to the government looking for solutions. Can you give us a couple of examples of that?
Oh, yeah. Perfect. So we voted because we still thought voting counted, right? And we thought it actually meant things and thought it could change things. We voted for mass deportations, and what do we have? We have a closed border. Fantastic. We're not getting mass deportations. Deportations are lower than previous levels with previous administrations. Instead, we're looking at spending $90 billion that we don't have of tax money that we just print out of thin air for a system that's rigged to aid the elite. And we're going to take that $90 billion and we're going to buy warehouses. So we don't have to deport these people. We can keep them right here. That's what we're being told, correct?
Well, no, let me get back to that one actually first, and I'll let you get to your other example. So that one is they're creating these facilities because legally they're being told they have to get due process for these illegal invaders. And due process would mean that they'd have to get in front of a judge a couple of times, and the judge would have to be the one to give them the boot. So they're building up these detention centers because this is why Democrats did what they did. They flooded us with millions of illegal invaders for the purpose of we would have to stack them up in detention centers. And at the current capacity, we don't have that capacity to do so. So they knew that it was going to keep the new federal government from being able to deport these folks. And so although we believe in mass deportations, it's reasonable to say that there's not enough resources involved in all of this. And these detention centers, yes, I do fear that if the next administration's Democrats, they could use these detention centers later on at a later date to hold their political enemies in a massive camp. Yes, I do think that is a reasonable, given what we saw under COVID, it's a reasonable theory to come to. But you can't, we're not just trying to house them here because we want to house them here. We saw the legal battle that happened between both left and right, obviously, and the judges were refusing to deport these individuals and said that they were that they needed due process. And so you can't support these people now.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And that is the law-abiding, voting matters, and it works mentality. You look at the Democrats. The judges told them during Biden's tenure that you can't do that. What'd they do? They did it, whatever the example may be. And how many of those people have been held accountable or are sitting in jail? For one, Joe Biden, Auto Pen. You can't do that. It's illegal. Where's Joe Biden today?
Yeah.
They had the appetite to do what they wanted and what they promised their voters. Republicans do not have that appetite. They are weak. They are feckless. They have the Senate. They have Congress, the House and the Senate. They have the Supreme Court. They have the White House. And what are they doing? They're waiting on judges to give them permission. Do you ask permission when you want something, or do you do it? Well, the Democrats do it, and then there's no repercussions.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue against that.
Right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue against that. I mean, I don't think I've ever argued against that. We know that Democrats just make their own rules. We constantly are calling out the rhinos who pretend to be on our side, and they're not. They're the ones who have allowed all of this. So that's why when you were talking about your dispute with us here on InfoWars, I'm trying to find a clear line of an example as to what to dispute exactly. I mean, first off, we all have difference in opinions, obviously, and we don't have editorial meetings like we did in corporate media, so everyone has their own opinion here on this network. But I don't think we've ever advocated for, I'm never going to advocate for violence unless it's warranted, unless it's a response rather than to be the first to initiate it. So I haven't seen an act of violence being carried out on us as of yet. You know, I know the other side also is obviously very violent. We call that out constantly. I don't think we're at the point where we should get violent with our governments and the finances to it. I mean, yeah, if every American would jump on board with doing a boycott of paying their taxes, I think that would feel a little bit of a burden. But the reality of it is I don't think many Americans want to put their neck on the line. So I think that it's okay to have this, to try to push for accountability, I should say, within this administration. You know, I try to be fair and balanced, and I try to be as critical as I can while also counting the wins that they've done thus far. I don't want to be too black pill. I want to also make sure that we are coming from a very fair point. You know, if I'm every day is just going after and beating people over the heads what they're doing wrong at their job. I think that when they actually do something that's significantly wrong, I think it doesn't have much in the way of credibility, or most people are just so immune that they won't even understand the severity of it. So I try and bald eagle. I want to get to somebody else too, because we got a couple more people on hold. So thank you for calling in. Patrick in Canada. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hello, longtime listener, first time caller.
Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate that.
Thank you. I wanted to share a unique perspective with the audience regarding what you were discussing before about the Islamic takeover of the Western world, if I can paraphrase. And I think I have a unique perspective because I'm a Canadian from Italian descent, spent most of my life in Europe, but I see the same thing happening in Canada. And I'm not going to do a laundry list of examples, but just, you know, one recent one, there was a prominent politician from Ontario, I forget the name, who got kicked out of the government because she just she was invited on a radio show, and the radio show was considered to be far right, and so there was pressure on the government, and she got kicked out just for being on that radio show. However, there's an example last year of a, if it's last year or a little bit longer before or more recent, I forget the date, but of a, it's in the news, a professor in the university actually publicly stated that he wished that the protesters against the Iranian regime would be hung. So he gets to keep his job for saying like really awful things like that. But in our own government, people get kicked out just by, you know, just for being suggested to be having right-wing opinions or dare to speak with the other side. So that's just an example. But what I wanted to make sure I bring up, I mean, you might have heard that this weekend in Germany, what I think is called the Munich Security Council, there was Reza Pahlavi that was talking. And at the same time, there was a huge protest in Munich with hundreds of thousands of people protesting against the Iranian regime. So you hear about that in the news, but what you don't hear is that there was actually three major cities that were hosting the key protests, synchronized key protests to speak against the murderous Iranian regime. And one of them was the city of Toronto. And there was more than 500,000 people there. I went there personally, and I see the videos, and you know, there's aerial videos showing the masses of the people. And it's historic. There was never such a huge protest in the history of Canada. So what is that saying? So people are waking up. People are supporting the free people of Iran. And another part of the unique perspective that that I feel I have is I don't know, maybe you're in the same spot, Morello. That's Italian descent, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, Sicilian.
Okay. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you see people around, strangers, and they remind you of family members, but they happen to be Persian descent? Has that ever happened to you?
No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. But I'm sure you have a story. We have 1 minute, so I'll let you take it from there.
Well, all that to say is that we are very close to the Persian people in the Western world. They're actually Indo-Europeans. And Alex, in last June, made a very powerful statement and was showing pictures of the Persian people. And then next to it was showing pictures of the mullahs that they're trying to get rid of. And it's the same that is happening here. They took over slowly. Over there, it was a mix of communism and Islam. And since then, they've been oppressed. Their country has been set back decades back. And now it's a murderous regime that is in action. So the Western world really needs to wake up and counteract this invasion and not be afraid to speak out. Because from what I've seen, what I've learned, because I'm married a Persian woman, and I've learned so much on how they've been brainwashed from the get-go when they go to school, being forced to say death to America. So they take them very young, they brainwash them, but yet their souls don't want to stay in there, and that's why there's so many protests happening. That's why there's a lot of people being murdered when they protest. So we need to keep an eye out through that looking glass, because that's what's going to happen everywhere
else. The commercial's about to cut you out. Thank you for calling, and we appreciate your insight. Folks, if you're on hold right now, if you want to stay on hold right now, I'm going to try to get everyone in after Tom Renz, just in case we have time. But, folks, stay right there. We'll be back.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. Bigley does, with all their great operations they do. So if they're able to shut down InfoWars, you can read about the news, they're still trying. It doesn't matter, because Bigley owns that, and they're our sponsor, and they've built the Alex Jones Network backup studios and are helping build the new studios. I'm just work for them in the future. I don't yet. And so they can't stop me. They'll be the owner. I'll be the news director. So you're not just funding the current operation. They're funding InfoWars as well, like 90% of the funding. They're also funding the future. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now and take advantage of the biggest sale of the year, 52% off store-wide. And everybody buying anything should commit in the lightest, easiest way. Become a VIP for $30 a month with one click. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, discount sales on top of other sales on top of everything. If you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. The reason I say it's a very light commitment, you can cancel any time for free with one click. Just for whatever day of the month you sign up as a VIP, it rolls around every month and charges you $30. You don't like it for whatever reason, you get your $40, you spend it, you get your discounts, all that, then don't have any money at the time, whatever, you just cancel. So if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP, because you get $40 instantly to spend in the store. You make $10, and it lowers the cost of everything you just bought on top of the sale. If you're a VIP, at 50% off, some of these products are loss leaders, meaning we're losing money. But because we have I didn't understand this. We have a repeat sale on the store of 98%. No one has that. On the supplements, over 80% reorder individually. That's how good these are. So take advantage now. You have less than 48 hours. So tomorrow night at midnight. You have until tomorrow night at midnight. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
the American Journal. We're excited you're all with us today. A lot happening over here in regards to Maha, and something big just broke a couple of minutes ago that I wanted to bring to you. Tom Renz will be joining us in just a second, but want to give you an update. I reported this last week that the FDA was rejecting a Moderna application to have its mRNA flu vaccine. It hurts me to say the word vaccine we're referring to this, but vaccine reviewed. Well, it looks like the FDA has since reversed its earlier decision to reject the Moderna application, of course. Now it looks like they will be looking into all of this. The initial refusal stemmed from disputes over the trial. I believe it was one of the comments in the letter, if I could, you know, go back into the Wayback Machine, was that there wasn't enough evidence to back all of this. But it looks like, again, that they are now going to be looking into it. The FDA has now accepted a revised approach for all of it. Under the updated plan, the agency will pursue full approval for adults aged 50 to 64. So this is interesting. This is interesting. Joining me to discuss all things related to Maha today is Tom Renz. He's an attorney. You can find him on Twitter at RenzTom. Best way to do just that. That's spelled R-E-N-Z. And his first name is Tom. That's how you're going to find him on X. Tom, thank you for being here. It's exciting to have you on. You do a great job on X at breaking down a lot of the stories that everyone else is too afraid to talk about. So I want to make sure our audience knew where to find you. But this is a big one. The fact that we saw the FDA originally, they didn't want to review the application. I recall, I think it had something to do with the study itself. They didn't think it was efficient enough. Well, now they're revising that earlier decision. What's your take on that?
Well, there's two parts of it. First of all, there's a lot to talk about in terms of the study not being effective or the data not supporting the move. But I think the other more important part is that this also happened on the heels of a $750 million investment from Blackstone. Now, Blackstone, distinguished from BlackRock, is a huge player. They're the group that everybody keeps hearing about that keeps buying all the single-family homes and apartment buildings and that people talk about as potentially contributing to the overall cost of housing. Mm-hmm. Well, BlackRock, one of these major investors, throws some money behind this. And, you know, it's interesting to see the administration continue to just kind of bend over backwards to anything that any of these kind of WEF, you know, major institutional investors want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the concerning part here. And I'm going to be reaching out to the FDA for comments to see specifically what made them change their mind on all of this. Because, you know, at first it was the fact that they didn't have the adequate details from the study that they thought were efficient enough to kind of launch this. But they've since changed. But have you, I know the story just broke, so kind of throwing this at you right now, but have you seen anything to suggest why they thought that now is the good time to kind of resume that and revise that decision?
No, I haven't seen any justification for it, but the thing is there is no justification. At the end of the day, you know, I was just looking at some of the stuff related to this, and listen, we haven't seen that. HHS has refused to release updates on cancer rates for several years now. We don't have adequate details on safety data related to any of the mRNA poisons. mRNA is still misclassified as a vaccine when it's actually just a gene therapy. And by the way, anybody that wants to argue with me, you're literally injecting genetic material into your body for a therapeutic purpose with these vaccines that aren't vaccines. So, I mean, go ahead, make that argument. But there is no science. There's no science to back this. This is a betrayal, to be honest with you. Bobby said he's going to bring in gold standard science, and I like Bobby, and I know Bobby's doing a good job. But Bobby works for Susie Wiles and the rest of the administration and loves these mRNA poisons and seems hell-bent on pushing them no matter what.
Yeah, well, that's the problem here. We're going to keep our eye on this, Tom, because obviously this is something that's very important for our audience. And so we've got our eye on that, of course. But yeah, it's so frustrating to see. But the, you know, the Maha movement's been doing pretty good. I mean, given what we've seen across the tape, and that's why we could focus on a little bit of positive. But seeing what we've seen so far, there's obviously a lot of agencies that I have my criticisms for. But they've done a great job over at HHS so far, I think, at implementing their initial campaign commitments on that front. I want to get to this. This is something, Tom, that you and I agree on, obviously, because we're both dog lovers. And we, well, I mean, I know for my personal self, I actually do cook for my dogs because I feared the dog food itself. We've had these discussions before, but the Clean Label Project has investigated dog food and they've done this through about 79 popular commercial dog foods. And they found out an alarming amount of heavy metals in that food. Now, that would include lead and mercury and others. And obviously, this is extremely concerning, but it also includes plastics as well, pesticides, and cancer-causing components. Now, this is widely found in dry kibble as well, often 3 to 13 times higher than normal heavy metals found in human food. I mean, this is concerning, obviously. What do you make of this? Because I know you've discussed the disgusting chemicals that are being found currently in dog food. So what do you make of this latest study?
Well, I think it's probably very accurate. So, I mean, we can't even get by with people food. We just found arsenic levels increased in a bunch of different candies that kids eat. We keep finding glyphosate and everything. And so you got to understand that the grade of food that they use to make dog food is much lower. Now, remember also that the people who make dog food are the same big ag people and big pharma people that make everything, right? So you have to understand the way this industry works, and it's very, very clear if you're paying attention. So you get these major, major companies, and let's take Bayer Pharmaceuticals, for example. Bayer owns, they own Roundup, they own glyphosate, right? So they make these poisons, they put it on the food, and then they make the medicines that they use to cure you. They do the same thing with dog food. So, you know, you have Merck and a bunch of these others that are involved with making vaccines for animals that are also involved with, the food side of things. Across the board, the major players in the vaccine industry now own major stakes, not just the vaccine industry, but the pharmaceutical industry, own major stakes also in the egg industry. And we're seeing kind of this thing where the food's getting less healthy, and it's causing a lot of problems. And dog food is just not, people don't pay attention to what they're feeding their puppies. So, no one's testing it as much as they do regular food. So it's really, I expect that if we properly test enough dog food, we would actually be horrified at what we found. There's indications of this, and now we're moving towards the mRNA that they're using in more and more animals. They're using mRNA as pesticides in crops. I mean, this all kind of fits together. It makes our pets sick. It makes us sick. And, it's horrible. But we do have a win on the grass list, which is another topic. So maybe it'll get a little better.
Yeah, we'll get to that next, too. You know, this is why, and I know I've got smaller dogs, so it's easier for me to say, but this is the reason why I cook for my dogs. And I try my very best to make sure it's just meats, organic vegetables. Again, it's not 100%, obviously, given the spraying that's going on all across the country, but it's an attempt to try. So if folks at home are listening and thinking, how can I do this? I mean, I have had great results. You know, my dog is a rescue, Giuseppe, and Giuseppe had places on his body where he was missing fur after I picked him up from the shelter. He had a lot of issues, itching constantly. I got rid of most of that by just not letting him eat dog food and actually cooking at home. So it's always a good and important idea to float out there for our audience too, in case they're interested. But as you just mentioned, grass, a loophole is trying to be closed by the HHS secretary right now. He's targeting it right now. To be a little bit more transparent when it comes to ingredients, what do you make of the new front that, obviously RFK Jr. is trying to lead?
This is critical for dogs and for people. And I got to tell you, it's like you said, I think HHS is doing a good job overall. You know, there's a lot of problems there. It's probably one of the toughest industry cabinet positions to take. I mean, Bobby's got a very tough job because there's so much pressure and so much corruption when he came in. But he's doing some remarkable things. And if he can close the grass loophole, that's huge. European countries typically have about 400 ingredients that are eligible for food by regulation. In the U.S., by some estimates, we have over 10,000. They're not safe. They don't test them to be safe. All they need is a statement from the manufacturer saying that we believe it'll be safe. It says a little bit more than that, but there's really no science backing it up. And then it's just called safe. And it's a really, really dangerous thing. We have so many products. People will talk, hey, I went to Europe. I ate pasta for 2 weeks. I felt great. I came back and had a noodle and I was sick. Well, that's true. That's true. And yes, it's, the glyphosate in the fields and the poisons that we use on our crops. It's the fact that they're all genetically modified. I mean, our farming as an industry has really, really gone south, and it's industrial farmers. The mom and pop shops, the local farmers, they do a lot of things real, real well. But the industrial and commercial farming and commercial ag has really just been a betrayal to health. And this is a tremendous step forward. I cannot stress how big of a deal the grass loophole being shut down would have. It's just a huge impact.
How do we go about reversing all of this, too? Because obviously closing the loophole is really important, Tom. But how do we figure out, how do we prevent this from happening down the line? Because right now, like you just mentioned, you know, HHS, I think, is doing one of the better jobs out of a lot of these other agencies. But if the next administration steps in, I mean, the process companies will pour in their lobbyists, and it's not going to go well for us. So how do we make sure that changes like these loopholes being shut down? How do we make sure that's permanent?
Well, this has been one of my major complaints with the administration and the GOP, is ultimately we don't. At the end of the day, this is going to come down to either passing legislation or it's going to change the next time someone comes in. I mean, right now, over the last year or so, we've had to fight against the pesticide immunity actions. They kept trying to put anybody that doesn't know about this, you know, the GOP keeps trying to sneak in immunity for pesticide makers like glyphosate. You know, they got the dicamba coming out now, which is a deadly, deadly, dangerous poison. They keep putting these poisons in and on our food, and a lot of times it's being approved by EPA or various different agencies. Bobby doesn't have total authority to stop this. And the administration is, I mean, frankly, they're MAHA is second to the administration over, you know, corporate profits in many cases. And I understand the need to fix our economy, so I support the president in trying to make the economy better. But at the end of the day, this isn't the way to do it. And so, you know, we've got this balance that's kind of off right now. And so, yeah, the only way to fix this on a permanent way is to really, I mean, if they make official rulemakings, that'll have a big thing. That's what they're looking at with the grass loophole. But ultimately, outside of that, the only way to really do this is to pass legislation and then to fight for it. But this GOP Congress is absolutely owned by pharma and absolutely owned by big industry. So I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating to see. And you know, since we're talking about a lot of harmful chemicals that are being found in our foods, I want to also cite that the EPA has recently reapproved, and I'll let you kind of tell our audience about how dangerous this all is, but recently has reapproved the use of something called dicamba. It's a herbicide, it looks like. This is something that a lot of people are warning about, and it's very dangerous, but it's used often on cotton and soybeans. Can you break this down for this? I saw this on your X page, and you were very concerned.
Yeah, it's a very concerning thing because dicamba is a very, very dangerous product, and it's very hard to control the drift. It goes everywhere when they spray it. And it's likely, now it's not been classified as carcinogenic, but it's likely carcinogenic. I mean, it's kind of like saying that the COVID vaccines don't cause cancer. We may not have all the science to back it up because they keep covering the science up, but it does. And this is going to be something else. It's a neurotoxin, endocrine disruptor, all sorts of problems in there. So, I mean, this is another thing that they're going to put out there. It's going to get in on the food, and it's going to be something that we all have to live with. And when the problem is going to really be for the farmers and the people living in and around the fields where they're spraying this stuff, because it just goes everywhere. The drift is a real issue with it. So, you know, it's a very unsafe product. And this is, again, this is coming down. One of the other issues we have is, like, I keep grumbling about the GOP, but the Democrats are worse. So I don't really know what we do about this. It really is one of those things where we, the people, you know, we're going to have to really kind of retake things and kind of shift things up in the primaries to get some, you know, and make MAHA a real thing that people talk about.
Yeah, well, I think that's the reason why the vast majority voted for President Trump in the 2024 election, obviously. And so MAHA is the movement that so many of us support. We want to make sure that is a top priority. Tom Renz, thank you for joining us, as you always do. You do a great job of breaking all of this down. And this is obviously something that for the American people, we are very much on board with, and we want to learn more about. So Tom Renz, you do a great job over on your Twitter page as well. Folks, give him a follow. At Renz Tom is where you could find him. He's an incredible attorney fighting for medical freedom. And he doesn't stop, and that's the reason why we love and appreciate him so much. So thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, we are going to go back into some calls. I know a lot of you were on hold, and I hate to leave you there. So let's jump back in. I see Craig in Ohio is still on hold. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. A perfect time to follow Tom. Tom has done some fantastic work over the last 5 to 6 years, and yeah. And then also, and connecting that, so he mentioned Blackstone in there. And then also we have Bald Eagle made some good points back on economics when he was calling in. And I wasn't going to call in today, but then, you know, I decided to sit on hold and go through this because I wanted to bring up a couple things. It's really obvious to me that the economics, like you guys do a great job on so many topics, but you really never hit the economics square on. And, you know, so we can talk about technocracy and, you know, and healthcare and politics and all this stuff. But I hear a lot of people depressed today, you know, talking about the administration's not getting things done. And we watched the Epstein files come out. And I just want to provide a framework that I think could be useful. And that is that we, if we're going to have, the, and you bring Mel Kay on all the time and so forth, and she does a good job with the technocracy. But here's the point is that if we're going to bring in the technocracy, that is a social control, credit score, energy-driven system, right? Energy credit. You know, if you're doing a good job, you get more social credits. If you're doing a bad job, they take some away. If you're going to bring something like that in, and we see this with the AI, we see this with all the spending, we see this with the oracles, you know, the all the stuff back to the Epstein files just validates this more than anything, is that they have to destroy the government, right? You have to tear that out of there. So I think what we're doing is we're seeing an actual controlled demolition of the politicians in politics so that you create an empty gaping hole for the technocracy to walk right into its place. And so I think if people come at it from, you know, at least entertain that framework, all this stuff starts to make sense, right? And this isn't just happening in the U.S. This is happening globally. And what happens is, you know, we have governments. We have this layer of people that no one knows the name of. Mm. And they have the access to go into a place like Japan and suppress it for 30 or 40 years, go in there and do what's called the carry trade, steal money from the Japanese people, steal wealth, put it into the system, go into private equity, which Harrison's done a good job with the Vino mom, you know, covering private equity. You guys skirt around it all the time, but you never hit it head on. And that is that this class of people goes in and they're able to extract money from massive systems, governments, Japan for 20, 30, 40 years. And then they take that, put it into private equity, put it into things like Apollo Group, right, that goes out and makes these investments, or Blackstone makes these investments. And then we see, you know, what they do with it, right? They team up with ARPA, DARPA. They come back. They set up Facebook. They set up, you know, they set up Palantir. They set all this stuff up, right, back into the technocracy world. And all this stuff gets built up, right, and then they get done with Japan, and that let interest rates rise. And now we see them going around creating these 100-year bonds, $100 billion of debt to fund the AI system. They're using Google. What do? They go out, they create debt, right? 100-year debt, you know. And they're, where are they going? They're going to UK, doing it in pound sterling. They're going to Switzerland. They're setting up a whole new carry trade, right? How to rip off another system, global system. And Chamath Palihapitiya, which most people don't know that name, but he's a major technocrat tied in with David Sachs, who's our part-time crypto czar in the White House. He said there's 150 people out there in the world that control all the money flows. And that's what we're really dealing with. And the problem is you guys do a great job. I mean, I can't stress how great of a job you do, but you just don't hit on the economics and finance in the structure that if you're going to bring in technocracy, you have to get rid of the politicians, and that's what we're seeing. That's why they just released the Epstein files, is to destroy the government, because they're going to bring in the technocracy.
Well, Craig, we appreciate the insight on that. No, I mean, listen, I appreciate all perspectives, and there's a lot of news topics to cover, and so we do our very best, but I appreciate the angle, and as many of you guys know, Mel Kay is constantly on the show, so this is right up her alley as well. So, Craig, we appreciate you, and thank you for staying on hold, too. I know that takes a lot of energy for folks, and so we appreciate it. But yeah, we'll do our very best, Craig. All right, let's turn to Big Mac in Wisconsin. Big Mac, welcome to the show.
Morning, Brianna. You can hear me okay?
I can. Welcome.
Excellent. Hey, boy, your callers, they're nailing it today. Kudos to all of them, everybody that's called in. I'm going to get to my point here. By any chance, sweetheart, did you happen to catch, it would have been January 18th, of this year, the segment of with Mark Levin and Peter Schweitzer on his book, The Invisible Coup. Did you catch that at all?
I have not caught it, no. Mark Levine's not really my guy, so I don't really try to listen.
Well, okay, then we could put him aside. That's fine. As just like I've said, I've been a listener and a follower of InfoWars, I'm not kidding you, well over 30 years.
Thank
from
you.
From practically the beginning. Love Alex, but I sure like his guests. So let's go back to his guest, Peter Schweitzer. Mm-hmm. My point is, that man came out and talked about the threat to the United States here in America, what we are up against on the invisible coup. That was so thought-provoking and right on to where we stand right now in America, to where it seems like we as the citizens, and we're counting on our administration to put a quell and stop this infiltration of what's happened to the United States as far as from Islam to the Muslims. I'm not going to pick on them, but they are part of the problem. Antifa, Marxists, socialists. We have a coup going on here, literally, and a lot of people ain't paying attention to that. I don't believe that they are in this country. We got armchair warriors. They sit there, get on the internet and talk, and everybody's got opinions. Great. I don't see action. I don't see action where it comes down. How about us conservatives getting out there with our protest signs and getting in their faces? They're getting away with all this garbage, you know, and they've got numbers, strength in numbers. They're out there protesting and raising heck and doing all these things, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the country. And where are we? Do we have the gall to get up there in their faces and say, you know, we've had enough of you. You got a right to protest. Fine. Guess what? Here we come. We aren't armchair warriors. We're going to get in your face because we love America. You hate America. You're in for the wrong change. We just as soon keep things well alone the way it is. We love America. I'd serve my country in the Navy, and I'll tell you what, if I got called again to go against domestic terrorists, I'm ready. Call me because I'll get in their face, and I ain't afraid to die either for my country still. And that don't mean I'm a bad person at all, but
no,
we need to get in their face because that's why they're getting away with it. Nobody's got the gall to get up in their faces and say, you know what, enough of you people. You know, it's really irritating. It really is. But my point back to what I was talking about, that Peter Schweitzer interview, let me tell you what, that nailed it. This is where we're at in this country. This is where we are at. And if we as civilians and this administration doesn't do anything with this threat that we got going on, you know what? We're done. We are done. That's just the way I see it, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, first off, thank you for your service. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'll give this a look. Peter's obviously one of the individuals who I do really appreciate his insight on a lot of these things. I used to book him quite often over at Fox, and I think he is definitely someone who we should all pay attention to. So Big Mac, thank you for calling in and bringing that to our attention. We greatly appreciate it. Folks, for everyone who's on hold right now, thank you for calling in. I try my best. So I was like, let's go into overtime and let's try to grab some more. But we did about an hour of calls today, and I love and appreciate all of you for waiting on hold, and thank you for that. Unfortunately, though, we're up against a clock, that damn clock. But thank you for being here, and thank you for calling in, folks. In the meantime, though, if you want to save a ton of money, you got to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com right this second. There's a couple more hours left. And the 52% off-site wide sale, that's the mega sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. And it's a good investment. Not only are you investing in us today and keeping us up on air and whatever future projects we intend on doing, of course, but most importantly, it's a good investment for you because this is the final week to enter to win both the Ford Mustang as well as the Ford F-250. Plus, if that's not enough of an incentive, you could potentially win $20,000 in cash. So every time you go make a purchase right now over at the alexjonesstore.com, you enter to win that. Every dollar spent is about 100 times the entries. I don't even know how you count at that point, but head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. And I keep telling you about it because I love them. I'm obsessed with them. But those energy shots, if you haven't bought a box of those, do it now. It's incredibly inexpensive and it costs less than a cup of coffee and it's healthier. No caffeine, and you don't get all the jitters, and it lasts throughout the day. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, folks, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more, and check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.